Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. And it's 4:02. Welcome in a Wednesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on 1600 AM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, our South Gym frequency, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym, here in Cedar Rapids. Lots to get to today on the program. We've got an opportunity for you to win a great prize with us coming up in the 5 o'clock face-off tonight. That is in lieu of the 6 o'clock showdown, moving some things around due to our guest lineup. Wall-to-wall this afternoon, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score, WSCR in Chicago, will be with us here in hour number one as the NBA draft gets underway tomorrow. We'll find out from a Bulls perspective what they are looking to do and perhaps chat just basketball in general with Cody. Author Galen White will be on the show in the 5 o'clock hour. He has written a book that I am particularly interested in, and we'll see whether you're interested in it or not. It's an interesting concept about minor league baseball players from many, many years ago who had all the talent in the world and never made it to the major leagues. And so we're going to chat with Galen. And Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is going to be with us as well, as Kyle, I think, has tried to make the navigation here of the program today about as easy as possible for me. So I've been gone the last several days, and you can jump in here if you want.
We've missed having Todd around. He's been gone for a couple of days. We're going to try to get back.
This is a trial run for Friday, and I'm failing miserably.
It is something that we've been able to push through, but we're glad that Todd is back. We're going to be chatting, like you said, with Cody Westerlund at 4:35. Galen White, once again, 5:35. Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com. is going to join us as well, but Todd is back, and 319-366-1600 is our phone line and the Hurtin and Stocker text line.
So I'm having a conversation at home with my wife over the weekend. I think it came on Sunday, and she said, you know, there were a lot of people that were coming across her at the Cedar Rapids Colonels games, and they were wondering where I was,
right,
and why you're not hearing me. And it's just another wonderful reminder that, you know, you sort of become a part of people's lives when you do this, and I don't know whether that makes this easier or harder, but the reason that I was not here for the last several days is that I was with my father, and a week ago today, as a matter of fact, today is Wednesday, right? Lost all
today
concept of time. Last Wednesday, got a text from my mother on Wednesday morning that my father had suffered a stroke and was being flown to Iowa City. And it didn't take me too much to figure out that it was a pretty serious stroke. And I was with him for the last several days. Unfortunately, he passed away on Sunday, a little bit before midnight, which, not to make things worse and go all woe is me on everybody out there, but I think most folks are aware that Sunday is Father's Day. And yesterday and Monday, I was tending to some family business and trying to get everything organized for the services, which will be coming up on Friday. So I'm here today, and I'm going to get through this, and I'll be here tomorrow, and then Alex and Kyle are going to take over again on Friday. Just a really good reminder that pretty much everybody is replaceable. I mean, you can take somebody out of the equation and not skip a beat. And I've taken more time off here in the last week than my father would have, which is not necessarily a great way to honor him. I was thinking back not all that long ago to a time where my father's uncle Jim, my great uncle Jim, had passed away. And we drove to the Chicago suburbs for the services and drove through the night back to eastern Iowa to get home in time so that my dad could go to work at 4:35 o'clock in the morning, as he did every day. and he did not like to take time off. And I just took a bunch of time off, and I needed every second of it. And unfortunately, that doesn't change the outcome. And so here I am, and I'm not talking sports, and that probably upsets a number of people out there, which is good, you know, because that's normal. And I want my life to get back to normal, the new normal. And so this is it for me. And here I sit. I don't even, you guys have been giving away the Amazon, the Dots.
We've been giving away the Amazon Echo.
The full one.
The whole shebang. And basically people have been trying to outsmart Alexa. I want to say Siri. That's not who is with the Amazon Echo. It's Alexa. And Alexa says something, and the first caller who correctly says whether the fact that Alexa gave is true or false wins an Amazon Echo. That's what we've been doing in your absence.
And how has that been going?
It's been going pretty well. Because
I've got questions. If Alexa is answering questions, I got a lot of them that I need answered. This is just, you know, I said the new normal, and there's nothing about this is normal. And I'm trying to power through this, and I'm trying to get through it. I haven't even given out the text line yet, which is probably a good thing. 319-366-1600. I'm sure Hertine and Stocker Jewelers would appreciate that, the sponsor of the text line. So here is my issue here, and I've been trying like hell all day long to get caught up. I'm aware that your St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup. That was last Wednesday.
That was a week ago today.
And I'm aware that my Chicago Cubs can no longer hit with runners in scoring position. And outside of that, and the Raptors. The Raptors won the NBA championship, which I can't even remember whether that happened before or after last Wednesday.
It was Thursday, I believe.
It was Thursday, okay. So that's what I'm aware of and what's gone on in the sports world between then and now. So I just sort of feel out of sorts here because, and I know there's not a ton going on. The Midwest League All-Star Game was last night, which they settled in a rather unique way, a home run derby. I don't know whether people would like to see that coming to other forms of baseball or not. Not maybe during the regular season, not during games that actually matter, but maybe at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, there was that notable instance many years ago in which the game ended in a tie and Bud Selig didn't know what to do. And Bud Selig, I had a dream last night, and I don't know why this is of any importance. The only thing I remember waking up this morning was that Bud Selig was in my dream. And if you want to talk about a nightmare, forget losing your father on Father's Day, waking up and realizing that you had a dream and the only thing you remember was the Skeletor-like specter of Bud Selig. Yikes. I do appreciate, by the way, the text line, the sentiments that are coming in. I promise you that I will read them, maybe for the best to do that at 7 o'clock tonight. And I do want to thank everybody that has reached out. And I was very public about this yesterday. I had kind of been processing and keeping things behind the scenes until yesterday. But if you follow me on Twitter, at Todd Brommelkamp, you can go and read some of the things that I chose to share out there on my father. And I joke that this is like a workshop for Friday, but I have to get up on Friday in front of friends and family and a bunch of people that I don't know, and I have to try to eulogize my father. And I don't know how to do that at this point. So my father was a good man, and I will miss him.
If you're able to power through it the way that you have the first, we'll call it 9 minutes of this show, I know that you're going to be able to do that.
This is not powering through.
It is powering through. It's something that everyone understands, and the fact that you're here at 4:12 on, what is it, a Wednesday? I lose track of
the problem with this is, and I'm no expert on grief counseling, but it reminds me of a trip that my wife and I took. It's probably someone calling to say get him off the air. to the Dominican Republic, which, by the way, is a beautiful country with beautiful people. And I know Americans have been dying mysteriously there, which is rather unfortunate. But I remember standing in the ocean with my wife, and I don't swim. I can't swim. I think I've been pretty open about that before here on the program. And but, you know, you wade out into the ocean and it's nice and it's fun and the waves are sort of coming in and they're lapping at your knees. And I don't ever go out too far because, again, I don't want to tempt fate. And so we're out there in the ocean and I've got my sunglasses on and my hat and the waves are coming in and they're gentle and it's fun and everything. And all of a sudden you're not really paying attention and you're looking out and the wave is coming in and it doesn't look all that big. And then the next thing you know, it knocks you on your ass and you're underwater and your sunglasses are gone and your hat's gone and you're scrambling to try to pick yourself up in the sand. And you're feeling the sand sort of coming out. That's what this process is for me. You're absolutely fine. And then all of a sudden, this wave just comes out of nowhere and knocks you on your ass. And so, let's be normal together at 4:14 on a Wednesday. 319-366-1600. You're going to help me out here because you guys have been sailing the ship here the last couple days. In addition to the Amazon Echo.
Yeah, they're just, as you mentioned, you were gone during a stretch where sports just, there just wasn't much going on. You mentioned the Blues, you mentioned the Raptors. After that, we're right in the heart of Major League Baseball season, and we are right in the heart of people getting fooled by fake Adrian Wojnarowski tweets. So that's where we are. You're caught up.
Our old pal Barry on Twitter, and I'm not talking about Barry Abrams, who's on the gym class occasionally. I am aware that Eloy Jimenez hit a home run last night at Wrigley Field, and that's a fun rivalry. It always has been between the White Sox and the Cubs. And I'm not one of these people. You know, I have loose ties to the Chicago area. My dad's family is from there. But I don't necessarily. The White Sox have never bothered me the way that they bother a lot of hardcore Chicago fans, Cubs fans who are from Chicago. I like the White Sox. And so watching that game, just a little brief snippets of it last. And of course, Jimenez was going to do that. And that entire trade could wind up making everybody forget about Lou Brock and Ernie Broglio. We'll see what Dylan Cease does when he comes up to the major leagues, but Jimenez hitting that shot off Pedro Strop last night, and I thought momentarily just sort of a punch in the gut, but not really, because again, I'm talking about trying to get back to the new normal. And Keith Murphy of WHO-TV in Des Moines reached out to me, and Keith lost his father not all that long ago. And he said, you know, it's very much like BC and AD. You've got the before and you've got the after, and you can't go back to the before. And so I sit here, and my biggest concern is that how this has fundamentally changed me, because really, who gives two flips what happened between the Cubs and the White Sox last night or what's going to happen in the NBA draft tomorrow? And so you sit here and you have to care about this stuff, and you get these occasional reminders throughout the course of your life that all of this is extremely trivial and none of it really matters. So, yes, that's where I'm at right now. I'm struggling, and you know, people listen to this program and they expect the host of the program to be occasionally entertaining and occasionally funny. And I don't know how to do that right now because it just doesn't seem right. I'll get to the phone lines here in just a second. I do appreciate folks calling in. There was a little slice of normal last night, and I want to say a quick thank you before we move on here to the folks at Cedar Rapids Kennedy, in particular the Kennedy softball program,
who every year they raise money for the Ronald McDonald Charities of Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois. And that's an organization that's really near and dear to my heart because we dealt with them and they were there for us when my son was born and in the NICU for 101 days. And every year they invite a family that has dealt with the Ronald McDonald House to come and throw out the first pitch before a game. And so yesterday, amidst all of this just wallowing in misery and sorrow, I got to go with my wife, and I wasn't originally going to be able to go to this, and so tiny silver lining there, I guess. And my son threw out the first pitch last night, and we were worried he was going to throw it straight up in the air, and instead he, and I'm told by everybody that was there that it was a strike, he managed to get it about 2-3 feet out in front of him, but it was in line with home plate. And I think had he gotten just a little bit more juice underneath it, maybe it would have been a strike. But that was very nice last night to have that moment. And a couple people did come up to me and had seen me on Twitter yesterday and knew why I was gone and did say hi and how much they appreciated the show. And that certainly means a lot to me. And that's the most difficult part in all of this is, you know, my son has lost his buddy. And trying to move forward with that. Let's go to the phone lines here. And John in Columbus Junction. I'm having a hard time seeing the call screener today, but I think it says John in Columbus Junction. John, what's up?
Todd, I wanted to reach out to you personally and let you know I have been exactly where you're at right now. It was by far the most difficult thing I'd ever done in my life, but yet it was the most fulfilling. And it's been 10 years, and I still get choked up. I wanted to let you know, and I'm going to keep you and your family in my thoughts and prayers. And thank you for everything you bring to the airwaves on my daily ride home. Thank you very much, Todd.
John.
In my thoughts and prayers.
John.
Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, of course, of course. And I guess that's a good reminder that, you know, I don't know what's going on in your lives, and you don't know what's going on in mine. And the nature of this business is if you disappear for a while, it doesn't take too long for the rumors to start circulating. And again, my wife was like, people are asking why you're not on the air. And I was like, let them think that I got fired. Let them think that I got suspended. I don't really care. And here we sit at 4:21 on a Wednesday. And we will get everything righted around here. I wanted to do this today and tomorrow because my father would not have taken any time off. My father was one of those people you deal with something and then you move on. And he was never necessarily the healthiest guy in the world. He was 70, by the way. I haven't really mentioned that. But for the last 50 years, my father has had different medical ailments, some larger than others, dealt with kidney stones pretty much all his life, and had hundreds of kidney stones to the point where he didn't go to the doctor unless he was just in absolute pain because there was nothing. He learned to pass them on his own and just deal with the pain. My father was he worked at a steel fabrication outfit in the Quad Cities where he was a welder and a painter. And when I say steel, you know, you see a construction site and those big, huge steel beams. He would get those ready for work. They need to be sanded down and they needed to be primed and things of that nature. And so you think about all of this work that he would do, bending over and working with cranes and everything, and working through all of the misery and pain that he was in because there was the only other option was to not work and be replaced by somebody, which again is kind of ludicrous to think about because he was really good at what he did, but he never liked to take time off for that reason, and he would power through. So as I'm sitting at home yesterday, and I mowed my lawn yesterday because on Monday, when I got my mom back to our house, I realized, Jesus, the lawn looks like crap. And mom said, well, Dad was going to mow the yard on Wednesday night, last Wednesday night. And so there I was on Monday, completely unprepared, brand new pair of shoes on, out there mowing. And so I get home, and then I said, well, now I got to mow my yard yesterday. And I'm sitting there, and all I'm thinking about is, my dad would be at work right now. And here I am sitting at home typing on Twitter various thoughts about him. And this has helped. It's not going to bring him back or anything. I should mention really quick, and if you guys are tired of hearing about this, you could go ahead and be a jerk to me on the text line. It actually, again, would feel normal. But my father, the stroke was, it wiped out 50% of his brain. And the left side of his brain, when they pulled up the CT scan, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but it was completely purple, which is really bad. And the neurologist at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, and by the way, those people are fantastic. I want to say thanks to them and the folks on the palliative care floor, on a 7th floor at the UIHC, just wonderful, wonderful people. And they took such good care of not only him, but us. The doctor is ready to give the bad news. And then he found out that Dad was left-handed. And he said, well, we'll have to wait until he comes up out of the anesthesia. But a very small portion of left-handed people house their speech and a lot of their cognitive function on the right side of their brain. There's like 15 to 20% of the population is left-handed to begin with. So tiny, tiny section of the population. And then among that population, there's an even tinier subset. And I'll be damned if my dad wasn't one of those people. So when he woke up on Wednesday, it was not the easiest thing in the world to oftentimes understand him, but he was there and was with us until, for the most part, into Friday, until nature started taking its course and everything. And so we got what a lot of people don't often get, and that is to say goodbye to a certain extent, and to hear that he loved me one last time. And I mean, that's a gift. That's a gift that I will never forget. I'll forget that Eloy Jimenez hit a 2-run home run off Pedro Strop last night. I'll forget that probably by the time I get home tonight. But I'm very, very fortunate. And my dad died shortly after having coffee in the morning with his friends, which was one of his favorite things to do. I shouldn't say died. He had his stroke. And 30 seconds later, he would have been behind the wheel. He would have been heading home. He could have injured somebody else. And so this is, you take the comfort where you can find it, all these little tiny slivers. And I think I'm ready for Friday now. I might be ready for Friday. What I am ready is for an Alexander Lumber big board update. Kyle is going to have that for you, presumably on the other side of this break, as I compose myself. And then we'll talk Bulls basketball with Cody Westerlund of 670 WSCR, The Score. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. I should say really quick, thank you to everybody here at the station as well for taking care of things while I was gone and making it so that I didn't have to worry as to whether or not things were still on the rails here. And I do appreciate everybody's understanding here, because this is not to get too inside baseball, but this is a time of year where until the end of the week, we're not allowed to be gone all that long, especially in large chunks of time. It's a really important time in the radio media industry. And they were like, no, go ahead, leave, go, be with your family. And so thank you to everybody here for that as well. As I said, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gyms in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, respectively. Cody Westerlund is with us next, back after this.
Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
It was only 8 pitches, but each one was important. On a night when a former Cubs prospect returned to Wrigley Field to haunt his former organization, fans looking for a bright spot could find one in what took place Tuesday night in Sacramento, California. Craig Kimbrell threw 6 of 8 pitches for strikes during a 7th-inning appearance for the Iowa Cubs. Kimbrell, who signed with the Cubs on June 5th, reached 96 miles an hour on the radar gun and registered 1 strikeout on an 84-mile-an-hour curve. The next outing for the 7-time All-Star, according to reports, will come tomorrow or Friday in Des Moines. He could join the Cubs by the end of June. As for that former prospect, Eloy Jimenez's 2-run homer in the 9th inning propelled the White Sox to a 3-1 win over the Cubs in the series opener between the crosstown rivals. Jimenez was traded to the South Side along with fellow prospect Dylan Cease in 2017 for lefty Jose Quintana.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
With a great deal of American pride, Buffalo Wild Wings announces a great deal on American beer just in time for soccer. Budweiser and Bud Light Talls are now just $3. May the soccer gods bless America as our women dominate the field. Ask not what your country can do for you, ask how fast you can get some $3 talls for your country. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
At participating locations, dine-in only. Hours of availability may vary by location. Other limitations may apply where required by law. Must be 21 plus. Void where prohibited. Some locations may only offer this promotion on U.S. match days.
Celebrate this season with a bang with the opportunity of a lifetime from Imon. For a limited time, lock in your internet price for life. That's right. Get Imon 80 megabit internet for just $64 a month and lock in this fantastic monthly rate for life. Freedom from annual price increases. No ugly surprises when your promotion expires. For the first time ever, you have the opportunity to lock it in for life. Switch to Imon's Price for Life internet service today. Go to imon.net/radio before July 4th to sign up and lock it in for life.
After a marathon 17-inning game, Twins and the Red Sox meet one more time to decide the series on Wednesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provost on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
429, we welcome you back in as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. Programming note, due to the NBA draft tomorrow, we will be on the air from 4 until 6, so no 6 o'clock hour on Thursday. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is set to come up with us here in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. Galen White, who's got a brand new book out that's, I think, of interest to baseball fans, or could be of interest to baseball fans, is going to be with us around 5:25 tonight. And we will have the 5 o'clock face-off for you, an opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We will not be at Mulligan's tomorrow. We will be there next Thursday, moving the schedule around due to the upcoming 4th of July holiday. So keep that in mind. We'll be doing the studio show tomorrow for 2 hours before turning things over to the NBA draft. Zion Williamson and Ja Morant, pretty much 1-2 given at this point, especially after today's trade.
And you can probably pencil in R.J. Barrett, number 3, to the New York Knicks, most likely.
And then after that, who knows? We'll see. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertine and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. Kyle was at the ready. He, after the microphones turned on, and I'm the big man, and I'm going to do this, and all of a sudden, I couldn't even get 10 seconds into the show. Kyle was in here with the box of, I'm used to these, too. These are the hospital quality construction. I don't know what the opposite, it's not even one ply, it's like 3/4 ply and sandpaper texture, and it just it hit the spot. It took care of everything that I needed there during the last 30 minutes or so. Let's send things over to Kyle, who again I appreciate sitting in with Alex and taking over for the last trying to do the math. What'd you do? You guys did 5 shows? When there's nothing to talk about, you guys did 5 shows.
I think we did 5, yes.
That is that's a hell of an accomplishment, and I will put you in for a Jelly of the Month Club membership.
The gift that just keeps on giving.
That's right. 319-366-1600. Big board updates on the Todd Brownlecamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can find them in Iowa City, still at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Drive, or check out the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street, also in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
We got another set of preseason All-Americans today, this time from Athlon Sports. A.J. Epinesa and Amir Smith-Marset, as a returner, were named to the first team. Alaric Jackson was named to the second team, and Tristan Wirfs to the fourth team. We're just one day out from the NBA draft, and just in terms of the general consensus that's out there, Iowa's Tyler Cook is a fringe second-rounder at best. Iowa State's Lindell Wigginton would be a surprise to be selected, but his former Cyclone teammate Talon Horton-Tucker will be drafted. It's just going to be a matter of when or where. He's been regarded as a fringe first-rounder through most of the process, but 24 hours prior to the draft, he appears more likely to be just on the outside rather than the inside. The Midwest League All-Star teams played to a tie in regulation last night, which led to something pretty darn cool. A one-on-one home run derby determined the winner, with Chris Betts, a catcher in the Rays system, winning it for the East after winning the home run derby the day before. The Colonels' Chris Williams and Gabe Snyder went hitless, but pitcher Josh Winder made an appearance and struck out both batters he faced. The Colonels are back in action tomorrow. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins, who last night, by the way, preserved their status as the only team in baseball that still hasn't lost three games in a row. They've got one more game with the Red Sox tonight, and you can hear it, as always, on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm wondering over the weekend, what could possibly take my mind off the fact that my dad is no longer living and a part of my living life? And O.J. Simpson joins Twitter. And
we talked about that.
Now I'm doing everything in my power to be blocked by O.J. Simpson on Twitter.
How do you get that honor?
Well, I've noticed that he has been blocking some people. And today he offered some fantasy football advice. Patrick Mahomes, he's talking about Baker Mayfield. And I said, if you're looking for some real killer fantasy football advice, give O.J. a follow. I think that would get me back on track. So if anybody's got any connections with OJ and you want to take a stab at getting me blocked by Orenthal James Simpson, a.k.a. Nordberg, on Twitter, that would be fantastic. That's LeVar Ball times 10 right there. And LeVar Ball, see,
this is a sad day.
I'd backslide every just little bit while I was wallowing in my own self-pity over the last couple of days. And I would occasionally take a peek at social media, and I would see, there's OJ. OJ's out. That's fodder. I would have knocked that one out of the park, hopefully. And then LeVar Ball is in the news, and I'm thinking, man, this is the universe letting me know that that things are lining up against me. 319-366-1600. Speaking of things lining up against teams and organizations, we have discussed ad nauseum the Chicago Bulls thought that they were going to hit the jackpot this year and then will wind up picking seventh in the draft that gets underway, missing out on Zion Williamson, missing out on Ja Morant, and we'll find out what direction the Bulls are perhaps headed in tomorrow when the draft comes your way at 6 o'clock here on KGYM. Cody Westerlund of 670 WSCR in Chicago is joining us now on the phone lines. And Cody, take us inside the war room at this point. How are the Bulls approaching tomorrow?
Well, they are, I must say, still disappointed they don't have a top two pick in this draft. If they weren't going to get Zion Williamson, they would have loved to get Ja Morant because point guard is their biggest need. And to go inside the war room, as much as we know, the little information that has trickled out is the Bulls certainly have some uncertainty in that room. Because they're in a position, like many teams will face through the years, you draft the best player available, or do you draft for need when you have such a pressing need as point guard? I'm of the belief the Bulls just got to get the best basketball players they can. They need a lot more good basketball players, two-way guys. So they're trying to figure out what's going to go on in front of them. We know the New Orleans Pelicans are shopping the number 4 pick. That's something the Bulls have checked in on by way of already discussing Lonzo Ball. With a three-way deal with the Pelicans and Lakers. That obviously played out with Lakers and Pelicans directly trading at this point in time. If the Lakers don't change their minds again about something, trying to open up a max salary cap slot. But I would expect the Bulls end up using the number 7 pick, and they could go point guard or they could go wing. I don't think they'll go with the big man. They are intrigued by Texas's Jackson Hayes, but to me, when you got cornerstones and Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen, I still think it's most likely they go with a point guard or wing. And the question is, how much do they like Coby White? And I don't think any of us actually know that answer, because he'd probably be the most likely point guard to fall to them at number 7 if that played out.
Now, we're starting to hear a little bit of buzz about how many teams like Darius Garland, that the people are moving from a 3-to-4-person draft with Garland, who missed a lot of the season at Vanderbilt. Could you envision a scenario that the Bulls move up to get their point guard of the future?
I think it's highly unlikely. I think we need to put a little slam the brakes a little bit here on Darius Garland. This isn't to say he can't be a phenomenal NBA player, can't be an all-star. He has the off-the-dribble, off-the-bounce shooting ability that is very coveted in the NBA today, the type that Steph Curry showcases all the time, James Harden. It's tough to make shots off the dribble. He can do that. He did that in his short 5 games in college. But the idea of a guy being hurt all season and everyone saying it's a 3-person draft, and then him raising up the draft boards to create a 4-person draft because he's going 1-on-0 against air or running around cones in individual workouts or shooting over an assistant coach or player personnel guy. Like, this is absolutely ludicrous. Like, no one needs to be trading a future first-round pick to move up and get Darius Garland in this draft. Certainly not the Bulls, a bad team that could probably use their future first-round picks next year and the year after, because they're still not going to be contending for anything next year, save maybe the 8 seed in a best-case scenario. So I'm not buying the Darius Garland makes this a 4-person draft. Like, I like him. If I had the 4 pick, I would probably take him. But I'm not trading up to go get him. There's way too much uncertainty there. If you want to trade up in the draft, that's okay. But you better be going to get someone like Luka Doncic, who's proved himself at a really high level, in his case, overseas in Spain. Or you go get someone in college that was really good and projects the high upside and the production. Like, there's way too much risk to trade up and get Darius Garland, in my opinion. So I don't think the Bulls will do that. I think they're still a little bit hesitant, actually, from 2014 with the Doug McDermott trade. Make them think twice about trading up just to go get a guy like that. I know on 2017 they traded up to get Markkanen, but that was part of a bigger deal for Jimmy Butler and hitting a reset button on a rebuild. So I don't expect them to trade up and get Darius Garland. If he was there at number 7, I'm sure they'd scoop him up as fast as they can. But I don't expect them to give up a future first-round pick for that.
ESPN has DeAndre Hunter out of Virginia mocked to the Bulls at 7. Do you think they'd be better served taking a player like Hunter or looking for a guard via free agency?
I mean, they could do both there. DeAndre Hunter would give them depth on the wing. Any wing they take there, obviously, if Culver fell or you've got someone like Duke's Cam Reddish, you can bring him along off the bench, have him be a rotation player, and then add a point guard in free agency. I'm of the belief that, like, John Paxson has said they want to be relevant next year. The only way this team's relevant is if they sign a veteran point guard of some sort in free agency. So they will at some point. It's just a case of, are they going to give, like, $15 million a year to Patrick Beverley, or are they going to sign, like, Corey Joseph on a much, much smaller contract? In that regard. So I would take the best player available. I like the idea of taking a wing and then addressing the point guard position in free agency. But they do have a little bit of flexibility there. That's what $23, $24 million in cap space will give you. So they need, like I said, they just need more two-way players. So I like the idea of adding a two-way wing, because they're kind of thin on the wings. Denzel Valentine coming off that ankle surgery last year, hasn't proven himself too much other than as a spot-up three-point shooter. Chandler Hutchinson, good on defense, couldn't shoot last year, also had a toe injury and injury problems. So they need more guys all around.
Now, you mentioned it's unlikely that they draft a big, but there have been some links to, or at least the Bulls front office, liking Jackson Hayes out of Texas. What's going to be the reaction from the fan base if that were to be the pick?
Complete confusion, because not only do they have their two young building blocks in Carter and Markkanen, like, those are the two most promising players. Those are probably the two favorite Bulls players of almost all fans. But there's also this belief from the fans, and certainly from part of the Bulls internally as well, that they need to use Lauri Markkanen more at center and, like, slide Otto Porter Jr. down to power forward at times just to fit the modern NBA and have him space the floor and go even smaller, stretch defenses farther on the floor. And that would be a scenario where you can still start Wendell Carter Jr., you know, send him to the bench and kind of as a second unit or a different lineup have Markkanen play center. That's not to say Markkanen needs to play 30 minutes a game at center. But you add Jackson Hayes, and that possibility goes completely out the window because then you're going to need to give him those minutes and almost always have Carter or Hayes on the floor. So I'm a little confused by the Jackson Hayes intrigue. I think it probably makes more sense if the Bulls – say the Bulls swung a trade with the Hawks or something for pick number 10 and 17 or something like that, or did something with the Celtics where I think they have 14 and 20 and 22. If they were picking up an extra first-round pick and drafting Hayes a little bit further back, I could understand it more. To me, at number 7, it's perplexing, though. And the other thing is it sounds like the Hawks like him as well, so maybe the Hawks just want to go trade up to number 7 and get him. You got to realize all this Jackson Hayes intrigue and all the links to the Bulls, that could just be a smokescreen. Like, the Bulls could just be driving the price up and trying to get a team that actually wants him to trade with them so they can pick up an extra asset in this draft of the future. So there's two ways to look at everything in here, and we don't know until Thursday night the draft takes place who's telling the truth and kind of who's lying in the interest they've shown before.
Cody Westerlund with us from 670 WSCR in Chicago. You also mentioned it's highly unlikely that the Bulls trade from that number 7 pick, but what do you think it would take for them to consider or actually pull the trigger on making that deal?
I think it'd be highly unlikely if they traded up. I don't think it would be a surprise if they traded down. I think if the Hawks wanted to offer the 10 and 17, I think the Bulls would probably do it because I don't think they're in love with anyone at number 7. Like I just said, the Celtics too. So if it's just another first-round pick this year, or maybe there's a young player they like on another team, a rotation guy, who doesn't fit great because he's blocked on the depth chart or something from another team, but they view him having the ability to be a rotation player for then years to come, I could see them doing a trade. So, look, they're open to it. Like, John Paxson's traded a lot on draft night in his career. I think he's made at least 7 draft night trades in the 15, 16 drafts he's overseen for the Bulls. So it's a common occurrence. Sometimes it's been moving up. Sometimes it's been moving back. Sometimes it's just selling or buying a pick, something like that. But it's not out of the ordinary. So I wouldn't be surprised if they move back. I'd be surprised if they move up because that's such a high price. Like, we're seeing first-round picks for the future being the cost of just moving up a few slots. That doesn't make sense to me. So they're open to business to move back. They could keep the pick, too. Those are probably the two most likely outcomes, certainly.
We keep mentioning point guard as a position of need. How murky is Chris Dunn's future with this team at this point?
Yeah, how murky? I mean, it's as murky as it gets. I don't expect him to be the starting point guard next year. If he has a good attitude, I expect him to be on the team and a contributor. If he has a bad attitude as the season moves along, I expect that they'll find a way to trade him and get him out of town. So he's always taken kind of the bulldog mentality and says, I'm going to play as hard as I can and run through the wall at everything in front of me, keep my job, this and that. But, like, it just hasn't worked out with him and Zach LaVine in the backcourt when they start together. And it's pretty simple. I mean, it's not rocket science. Chris Dunn's not a spot-up shooter, so he can't stretch the floor very well. He gets better with the ball in his hands, get to the hoop. Zach LaVine's a guy that also likes to initiate the offense, flash to the hoop, pick-and-roll guy. So they don't complement each other well. They'll play fewer minutes together this year. And I guess the bet would be it's probably more likely than not that Chris Dunn's still on the roster at training camp because I don't think his value is very high and the Bulls still like him, the idea of a second unit point guard to provide depth there. But as far as his future goes, yeah, it's really murky. Like, they're over the starting idea of him with Zach LaVine at this point.
Now, I know the last time we chatted, Gar Forman and John Paxson were saying that they were looking for a veteran player, a veteran point guard to join this team. Now, free agency is just a couple of weeks away. What are the chances that the Bulls might have interest in the ability to make a run at a guy like D'Angelo Russell?
They'll have the ability in the sense that the Bulls should get, if Omar Asik gets the medical waiver on his contract, they should have about $24 million in cap space. If they flipped a couple of those contracts, stretched Chris Felicio's contract, it's not very good. Like, they could get to D'Angelo Russell's max salary slot for him being an experienced guy, 0 to 6 years in the league. But I think they'd be more intrigued by others. The problem with Russell is, again, I don't know how well he fits alongside Zach LaVine, and I guess this is somewhat of an indictment on LaVine that you need such a specific player to to play beside him because of his defensive limitations, for example. But that starting backcourt wouldn't be very good defensively. It's a big risk to give max money to someone like D'Angelo Russell after really he had one really good year here. But that's also a season in which kind of everything went perfectly for him, where they needed him to put up those big numbers. He did. A lot of guys sacrificing in Brooklyn and such. So I would expect the Bulls to make a harder run, actually, at Patrick Beverley, an unrestricted free agent, Chicago native, who's already on the record saying he would basically love to play in Chicago if they had interest in him. And then Malcolm Brogdon, a restricted free agent of the Bucks. It sounds like the Bucks really want to keep him from everything we've heard from their general manager, John Horst, and such. But it's going to be tough. Like, if you draw up a really expensive contract offer sheet to Malcolm Brogdon, you could put the Bucks in a tough spot as far as it pertains to the luxury tax in the coming years. So I would say those are more likely. I think Beverley and Brogdon both fit alongside LaVine better. I think there's less risk in those guys, too, because their contracts wouldn't be long-term max deals that can really hamstring you there.
Cody, what team intrigues you tomorrow night with the draft, non-Bulls related? Is there a team out there that you really think has an opportunity to maybe pick up a piece that's going to help them for next year beyond, say, the top three picks?
Yeah, I like putting my eyes on the Hawks. Like, Travis Schlenk has done such a good job building that team around Trae Young, you know, adding Kevin Huerter, a guy that is a very good defender, three-point marksman. We saw the strides John Collins took last year. And now they have the 8, 10, and 17 picks, and it looks like they want to package a couple of those together and kind of go the quality over quantity route. So I'm going to be interested to see who they put alongside those young building blocks they already have. Like, Jackson Hayes does seem like he'd be a good fit for Atlanta, just because they need that center who can kind of protect the rim and run the floor. Those guys play at a fast pace. Like, Trae Young gets up and down the floor, has great vision. You want a center who can run the floor. So I think he's a good fit. Not so much lately, but earlier in the draft process around the combine too, there was just kind of rumors about the Hawks being interested in Cam Reddish. That's a guy who had a tough season at Duke, in part because he's kind of the third wheel. Didn't get the ball a lot, didn't understand his role. But like, if you put him in the correct environment and foster the right environment for him, I feel like he could really take off. And like, Trae Young distributes the ball as well as any young point guard in the league there. So he would probably be able to get him involved. That's a team with a really good coach, GM, and just an entire structure in place. So I'm interested to see how the Hawks use their trade chips and draft picks to move up and get that quality player they want and who it is, because I think they have a really bright future.
Cody, appreciate it as always, and we'll be following along with you on Twitter and at WSCR. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Take it easy, guys.
Cody Westerlund of The Score, as we turn our attention to the NBA draft, which kicks off tomorrow. Only two rounds, and the Bulls sitting there in a good position, but not a great position in a draft that is maybe two, three, if you want to stretch it to four players, and beyond that, you're panning for gold. You're
lottery
looking,
tickets. Absolutely.
You're looking for those players. And we saw a team in the Toronto Raptors who had no lottery tickets, right? I mean, no lottery picks, I should say, wind up winning the NBA championship. So you can find good players after the top of the draft. It's not easy to do. And for an organization that, for the most part, was trying to get one of those top three picks and failed miserably at it, you're sort of where you don't want to be, and that's stuck in limbo right now. So tomorrow night, in my opinion, for the Bulls and a number of other franchises, is a big night. Classic understatement in this business. Just say something so completely random and broad that people have to hear it and automatically assume, oh yeah, excellent observation. The draft is a big night for a number of teams tomorrow. Spot on analysis. 319-366-1600. We will keep the program going until 7 o'clock tonight. Again, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. When we return, I want to revisit LeVar Ball and O.J. Simpson before we close the books here on hour number one. So stick with us. 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, and online at kgymradio.com. We'll get to the poll question and more when we return after this.
Star Equipment now sells, rents, and repairs heavy-duty forestry equipment, now carrying durable mulching heads, disc mulchers, and other skid steer attachments by FECON, Diamond, and Bradco. That means your next tough job just became a whole lot easier. Rent or buy your forestry equipment now at Star Equipment. And while you're there, ask about current government grants for mulching equipment. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Pros do it right to get more bang for your buck because putting more toward your bottom line is good for business. Lowe's is here to help with everyday savings, whether finishing up a property or updating one. Stop in now and get a GE Smart air conditioner at our everyday low price of just $349. Its connected functionality enables full control from the convenience of a smart device. Plus, save $20 on select Harbor Breeze ceiling fans, now just $49.98. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 6/23 U.S. only.
This is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. If you're anything like me, you're looking for that perfect food to go along with your NBA draft viewing. If that is correct, follow your instincts to Buffalo Wild Wings to get the new All-American Cheeseburger. Two fresh, never-frozen patties smashed till they're crispy around the edges and covered in gooey American cheese stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And while you're there, don't forget to grab one of the dozens of beer options that Buffalo Wild Wings offers while you enjoy the draft. Get the new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings, and please drink responsibly.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Academy Award winner Kevin Costner stars in Paramount Network's Yellowstone.
All the angels are gone, son. There's only devils left.
Season 2 of Cable's number one new drama premieres tonight at 10.
The walls are closing in on all sides. We're fighting to survive.
Loyalty, morality, not part of the equation.
We're about to find out how big a role you play in this family, son. You understand what I'm asking?
Oh, my God.
Yellowstone Season 2 premieres tonight at 10, 9 central on the new Paramount Network.
Copays, codes, coupons. Searching for savings on prescriptions is so complex, it's like you need a doctorate degree. Fortunately, CVS Pharmacy employs thousands who have one, our pharmacists. Plus, we built a proprietary search tool to help them find you savings on prescriptions. You don't need to know all of that complicated stuff. You just need to know someone who does. Your friendly doctor of pharmacy at your local CVS. Savings vary. Not all patients eligible for savings. Ask pharmacist for details.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking to build a deck? Think Trex is out of your price range? Well, now you should take a second look at the number one name in outdoor living. Because the latest deck from Trex is engineered for the DIYer and priced to put the pressure on treated lumber. Plus, it comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. And that's something wood can't promise. Find Trex on shelves at the Home Depot and bring home the number one name in outdoor living.
After a marathon 17-inning game, Twins and the Red Sox meet one more time to decide the series on Wednesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provost on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
4:56, we welcome you back in. It's the Todd Rummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, Kyle Mann, our producer on the other side of the glass, ready to bring you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in the coming 5 o'clock hour. And in addition to that big board, Bond Szymanski, officially out of a job in Iowa City today. We'll get to that in just a little bit, but that was something that most of us had seen coming for a while since he was put on paid administrative leave. Well, what a coincidence. Just about 30 days ago, it was 30 days worth of paid administrative leave, giving Gary Barta enough time to cross his T's, dot his I's, and make sure that at least with this termination, wasn't going to lead to any further recourse. Who would you rather live life without, LeVar Ball or O.J. Simpson? I was trying to figure that out in my head as I was muddling my way through that segment with Cody Westerlund, because I still am fixating on these developments that took place within the last 5 days when I've been so out of touch with the sports world that the only two things that really resonated with me outside of the St. Louis Blues and the Toronto Raptors, and what a time to be alive that those two teams are NHL and NBA champions. You have to pick one, and you want them out of your life for good, but you've got to live with the other one for the rest of your life. What's your choice, O.J. Simpson or LeVar Ball?
Give me LeVar.
You're taking LeVar as somebody that you want around in your life.
Yes. Yes. I mentioned this, and I know we are a little short on time, but I understand why the O.J. story still resonates today. I don't understand why people still allow O.J. to profit off of being O.J. now. Let's get rid of that. Let's move on. I don't want to hear any more about it, but he's on Twitter now, so I'm sure I will. I want LeVar.
LeVar, is he going to follow Lonzo to New Orleans? Because LeVar Ball on Bourbon Street and New Orleans and everything that goes with that, I sort of am in on. But let's call OJ what it is at this point, a 25-year train wreck that just continues to pile up boxcar on top of boxcar. I'm not sure that I'm ready to say that I'm completely done with OJ. But there's a sense of a little uneasiness in seeing him on social media. And it is June. It's a good time for it. 5 o'clock hour on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winston. You can possibly expect some Woj bombs tomorrow night at the NBA Draft. Coverage on ESPN Radio, ESPN Television. Of course, AJ Wojnarowski, ESPN NBA Insider, is all over the draft and all over any speculations and maneuverings that have been happening around the league, including a Woj bomb earlier this morning. Mike Connolly agreed to be dealt from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Utah Jazz in exchange for a pretty good haul. Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, Jay Crowder, the number 23 overall pick tomorrow night, and a future first-round pick. Not going to go into specifics as to when, because you'll get an ice cream headache. But the big news here, Memphis has rid themselves of a point guard. Why? So they can take a point guard tomorrow night. That, in all likelihood, is going to be Ja Morant out of Murray State, projected to go at number 2. Woj today also reports, despite the Knicks working out Darius Garland, they have all intentions of the world in drafting R.J. Barrett. Coverage of the draft, 7 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night, radio and television. Christian Yelich has hit his major league-leading 27th home run of the season today, but right now, Milwaukee trails in San Diego 5-4.
Coming up Thursday, it's draft day. After Zion and the rest of the top three, we're expecting a lot of movement. We'll get you set on who, when, and where. Plus, who should be giving up money to make it work for the Lakers? Go look and we go Thursday. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by The Grill Works in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters, making you the grill master you deserve to be. Here's the grilling tip of the week.
Have you heard of the latest craze, wood pellet grills? These are grills and smokers all in one. You can set it anywhere from 150 up to 550, so your low temperature smokes and your high temperature grills. Hi, this is Lisa with The Grill Works. We carry Green Mountain wood pellet grills, and we assemble and burn them in for you so you can just take it home and start cooking. We carry 11 varieties of wood pellets, too. Call or stop in for more information. The Grill Works, 763 8th Avenue in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters.
Academy Award winner Kevin Costner stars in Paramount Network's Yellowstone.
All the angels are gone, son. There's only devils left.
Season 2 of Cable's number one new drama premieres tonight at 10.
The walls are closing in on all sides. We're fighting to survive.
Loyalty, morality, not part of the equation.
We're about to find out how big a role you play in this family, son. You understand what I'm asking?
Oh, my God.
Yellowstone Season 2 premieres tonight at 10, 9 central on the new Paramount Network.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
503, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on KGYM 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. If you are just tuning in and just getting in your car, I'm not going to relive the last hour in the open of the program with you, but it is good to be back. And if curiosity gets the better part of you, you can always go to our website, kgymradio.com, and listen to me blubber my way through the first 30 minutes of the program tonight as I reflect on my father's passing. I lost my father on Sunday night, just a few ticks before midnight. I think he was trying to hang on to Monday so that it would not still technically be Father's Day. And he sort of did that because by the time the doctor did the final examination and put the time as official, it was like 12:19, but semantics at this point. Also semantics, Bond Szymanski out of work in Iowa City. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit, but the Iowa volleyball program now looking for a new leader. That's an unfortunate situation, because Bond Szymanski was pretty much everything that Gary Barta was looking for in a coach for that absolutely dead-end program. Right. A guy who was an Iowa City native, University of Iowa guy, and ultimately out of a job because he provided an impermissible benefit. I want to make sure that read this word for word here from the university, the release. The termination is due to the determination by the university following an independent investigation by an outside law firm of a major violation of NCAA rules. The violation includes intentionally providing an impermissible benefit to a prospective student athlete who went on to compete for the UI volleyball program and is now a former student athlete. If you're going to cheat, you better get better results, and you better not get your program in trouble. And that's 0 for 2 right there. I don't know how much more there is to say on this, because, again, when the news came out that he was on paid administrative leave, you don't usually survive that. You don't usually go on paid administrative leave with that looming over you and then just get to walk back in the door tomorrow and be like, hey, what's going on?
Well, I know that when somebody gets fired, it's either with cause or without cause. And if it's without cause, you have to pay the buyout. Is the paid administrative leave just 30 days for them to put together their case to fire you with cause?
It's usually included in the contracts. It's usually something that a good agent is going to make sure that gets put. It's a little bit of a parachute, but it also, I think, protects the university because it does give them an opportunity to get him out of the picture,
right?
But also to still work on making sure that there's a clean exit. And I'm looking at the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600, and You guys are saving me today, you men and women, because I don't want to slight Ann and Solon. You've thrown me a little bit of a life preserver here, because there's a small handful of folks who really understand the direction that I usually like to go in. And so just in the mere mention of O.J. Simpson and LeVar Ball, instead of completely ignoring that like most of the sane, rational world should do, some of the listeners to the program actually answered the hypothetical question, who would they want around for a long period of time?
In the news cycle, right?
And then, yes. And it came to me, I came up with a really sort of original idea, but not really. This is a lot like what Tyler does down in Tennessee where, I can't remember the segment, but it's a takeoff on Mary, copulate and kill. And then it got taken from him by another host at the same station. And that has led to some...
Whoops.
So anytime that I come up with something like this, and I could spend the next day trying to figure out whether this would work or not, or I'm just going to go live in the moment. And I've learned my lesson now. I'm living in the moment for the remainder of my life. You're on a cross-country road trip. Tyler may have done this. I can't remember. But let's, for the sake of argument.
No, see, actually, I don't mean to cut you off here, but this is your property. Like, this is your... You asked this question on a Would You before, and it was the question that you came up with.
Did I?
Yes.
The cross-country trip?
With two people. Which would you rather?
We're going to flesh this out. We're going to extrapolate here a little bit, because I've found that anytime you give people a conundrum, and it's A or B, and it's a difficult choice, you can never go wrong by adding Stephen A. Smith into the equation. So... for the purpose of hypotheticals here on the program, we're getting ready to take a cross-country road trip. We're starting in, say, Bangor, Maine, okay? And we're going to drive to Portland, Maine, or Portland, Oregon, cross-country. And you got LeVar Ball, O.J. Simpson, and Stephen A. Smith in the car with you. And you can drop one of them off in New York City, a couple hours into the trip. You got to drive to Iowa with the other two in the car, and you can drop one of them off here in eastern Iowa, but you then know and understand that from the Midwest to the West Coast, you have to have that last remaining person in the car with you the entire time. What's the order? 319-366-1600. Let's take a hypothetical cross-country road trip with LeVar Ball, O.J. Simpson, and Stephen A. Smith. Who's in the car by the time you get to the West Coast? 366-1600. Who could you tolerate the longest? And if you say any of these three, because there's no wrong answer and there's certainly no right answer, you're going to show your work. I'm not going to allow you to just say OJ because it's funny, because he killed two people, allegedly. And then, because the justice system failed miserably, got put behind bars for stealing memorabilia, but everybody knows he really got put behind bars because the justice system decided to take a mulligan on the first tee. You drop one of them off almost right away. You can tolerate them till, say, you need to stop for gas for the first time. And then the second one you drop off right here in Iowa, and then the rest of the way, 800 plus miles. More than that, it's been a long time since I've taken a cross-country road trip, but you're finishing out the rest of the trip with one of those three individuals in the car. Who is it? 319-366-1600. Let's go to Ray in North Liberty. Ray, are you taking the challenge here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, give me the order, or just let me know who makes it to the coast.
Absolutely. Well, LeVar annoys the hell out of me, so I'm dropping him off in New York City.
So you got Stephen A. and O.J. until at least Iowa.
I'm taking O.J. to Iowa with me, but I'm too afraid that if I bring up the murders, he's going to get pissed off. So I'm dropping him off in Iowa. At least I have a witness with me on the way. I'm taking Stephen A. to Portland, Oregon.
I don't know how you top that logic.
It's solid logic, and for a couple reasons I do, because I've been at this long enough to know, and I've talked with enough listeners, and believe you me, we are aware that Stephen A. isn't exactly mayoral material here. If he were in Cedar Rapids, I don't think he'd get the key to the city. But that sort of puts it into perspective, okay? Stephen A. is not the end of the world, especially when the other two options are LeVar Ball and O.J. Simpson. Is there anybody that takes O.J. all the way? I mean, you think about it. He's probably got some really good stories for you. The guy won a Heisman Trophy. He played in the NFL for years. He was in the Naked Gun movies as Nordberg, the rent-a-car commercials. Great, great career. NBC football broadcasts. And then 25 years ago, he ran into a little trouble. 319-366-1600. When you take that out of the equation, doesn't he sound like the perfect companion for a cross-country road trip? He's given fantasy football advice on Twitter right now. You know he's the type of guy, and somebody described LeVar Ball as the drunk uncle on Twitter. You know, you can tolerate him, and everybody is okay having him around, but he's pretty easy to tune out.
Right. He's sort of he's kind of like Brett Hall when I'm watching the Blues Parade. He just sort of screams, and everybody likes it, and then
why are we celebrating this?
Because I asked the same question.
Okay, that's sad to me, and because I know his father and all of the issues that his father has had, and it looks like the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree there, and all I'm seeing is people, oh man, I'd love to party with him. And I'm thinking,
at what point should we be concerned?
I think, well, the point of being concerned is long gone. But he got his Stanley Cup, he got his parade, and he got his Ric Flair moment. He's not in the car on the cross-country road trip. But to get back to OJ, if you're willing to overlook one instance in his long career, if you're just willing to block that out, you know he's the type of guy who's got an opinion on everything. You're driving in the car and you're figuring out, okay. And I know, I'm going back to some memories here with mom and dad and taking trips. We took some long trips together through the years down to spring training, which my dad was not a baseball fan and neither was my mom, but they would do anything for me because I was an only child. And so I said, let's go to spring training. And they went to spring training. You're on a road trip and it's getting to be lunchtime or dinner time. You sometimes get into a heated argument about where you're going to pull over and have dinner. Imagine how interesting that would be with O.J. Simpson. 319-366-1600. Where you want to go? Juice? I am not doing this. Let's not drop the gloves here and have a fight. I'll let you pick. You want to stop at Shoney's?
Drop the gloves.
Whatever. The guy has an opinion on fantasy football, Patrick Mahomes. That's not exactly a hot take, but then he was trying to figure out who the number two quarterback was.
See, O.J. Simpson is one of the most charismatic con men of all time. Like, he could talk his way out of anything. He can talk it. If you don't know him, if you didn't know him, and he was just somebody riding in the car with you, and you didn't know whose identity it was, you would be like, this is the most interesting person on the planet. So that's why a cross-country road trip with him, it would make the time pass very quickly.
What's really interesting here is that there is almost a unanimous consensus across the board that LeVar is the first person out of the car. You've got Stephen A. Smith. People love to hate Stephen A. Smith. I get more complaints about Stephen A. Smith than anybody else on ESPN Radio. People love to hate Stephen A. Smith, and the other guy most likely, let's be honest here, murdered two people, yet the first guy out of the car is LeVar. And it's almost unanimous. The text line, 366-1600, is, yeah, LeVar is the first to go. He may not make it until you need to stop for gas. You're just pulling over and letting him out of the car, and he's got to walk across or walk along the side of the road, Bruce Banner style, like at the end of The Incredible Hulk, sad music and all.
I think that maybe some of the logic here is that you have to separate Stephen A. and LeVar pretty quickly. Have you seen those two together?
I could see that maybe I'm overlooking the fact that you're playing with dynamite there by putting those two together. In which case, OJ would then be Peacemaker. You'd have to put him... One of the texters wants to know if we're in the Bronco. I don't...
Nope, just let's regular car.
Regular car, and for the purposes of promoting environmentalism, and it's 2019 and a green earth... We're in a fuel-efficient vehicle, which that the early 90s Ford Bronco, the white Ford Bronco, I don't think was probably the most fuel-efficient vehicle if you were looking to take a cross-country road trip, although you've got room to move and you got plenty of room in the back for whatever it is you need to take along with you, all of your suitcases and whatnot. We are not in the Bronco, and Al Cowlings is not there, and it's not part of the equation, but thank you to the text line. LeVar is the first to go, and then it comes down to Stephen A. or OJ. 366-1600. Well, let's go to the phone lines here. Let's go to David in Coralville. David, I want you to weigh in on this. What's up?
All right, so I hear what everyone's saying. This is how I make my decision. I stack them up by... In order of increasing IQ, the lowest IQ is out first, because that's just going to drive you nuts, right? So obviously LeVar is gone. And then if you're thinking it's between Stephen A. and OJ, you got to ask yourself, who do you think is a more intelligent individual? Because I think that's what it comes down to. I also, though, I think it would be super fun to go all the way to the coast with Stephen A. and just yell at him the whole time, so he can hear what we hear on the other end. So I'll let you guys weigh in on that. But I'm taking Stephen A. to the coast because I think it would be hilarious to try to push as many buttons as he does, because I think he'd be hoarse by, like, Omaha. And then you just got silence for the rest of the way.
You got to sleep, too, at some point. Thank you, David. You got to sleep at some point. You're going to take a wager that OJ or Stephen A. is going to nod off and give you a little bit of peace and quiet.
He doesn't sleep. Remember, Todd, he works 346 days of the year and doesn't sleep. He's always working.
What if the vehicle had Bluetooth capabilities? You've got the hands-free driving. A lot of states have hands-free laws where you're not allowed to make phone calls. And Stephen A. is in the car. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, that every 90 minutes you get a phone call from Carlton in Tampa. If you listen to the Stephen A. Smith show, you know that Carlton is a frequent caller to Stephen's program and is basically the listener version of Stephen A., who screams at him back and forth, and it's a very thick, old man New York accent.
If you get a call from Carlton every day, then you definitely have to drop LeVar Ball off first.
Okay.
Could you imagine having LeVar, Stephen A., and Stephen A. in the car, and then getting a call from Carlton?
See, these are all things that you would need to answer before you set out on the road trip, because it's going to... None of this is bumping LeVar off being the first one out of the car.
See, this is the thing. If you added the caveat that there was a police officer in your car or a surveillance camera in your car, and you're guaranteed that nothing's going to happen, is everybody choosing OJ? The entire way?
Everything is on video. Chad, by the way, is getting confused here. He wants a reminder on which Ball we're talking about. Lonzo is one of the kids. We're talking LeVar. We're talking Dad.
Who has been banned from ESPN.
Banned from ESPN. Do you know how difficult it is to be banned from ESPN? This is a network that, especially during the summer months... And Dan Lebatard covered this on the Lebatard show yesterday or today. I can't remember which show, but basically said everybody at ESPN is culpable for, and including them, because they helped catapult him to stardom because they were desperate for content. And LeVar came along at a time when there was a content vacuum. And so ESPN magnified him into a thing. And now ESPN has banned him from the airwaves because he's a misogynist and, among other things, just an all-around pig of an individual. 319-366-1600. A couple people on the text line are pointing out that Bon Szymanski is out of work. He's not even in the back seat of the car. We're tackling a really serious subject here. Szymanski was, I mean, it's to me, it's not really even news because when you got put on paid administrative leave a month ago, that basically tells you everything that you need to know. And if you're holding out hope, well, you know, maybe he makes it out of this. No. And now the question becomes, does this linger and touch other parts of the athletic department? And you hope if you're an Iowa fan that it doesn't. Iowa caught this and self-reported it, but it's a major violation. I mean, when you use the term impermissible benefits, what does that conjure up to you? Conjures up pretty hardcore cheating. Now, we're talking volleyball here. We're not talking football or basketball. But in some instances, then this causes the NCAA to say, okay, if this was going on with your volleyball program, let's take a peek and see if we can find anything else. I don't think they're exactly breathing easy at Carver-Hawkeye Arena these days, because anytime that you find something, even if it's just with one program, you're just giving the NCAA carte blanche to come poking around. And if they
want
to find something,
around, no.
If you want to, if they want to find something, they'll find something. The other question in the people who have no tolerance for cross-country road trips with LeVar Ball, O.J. Simpson, and Stephen A. Smith is, when will we know about Oliver Miller and his eligibility? I can't tell you anything.
We heard.
I've forgotten about Oliver Martin. Did I say Oliver Miller or Oliver Martin when I on first reference? Did I say Oliver Miller? I may have. Oliver Martin. Oliver Miller, as many people will remember, was a very large basketball player who once played for the Harlem Globetrotters at Carver-Hawkeye Arena when they beat Steve Alford and the Iowa Hawkeyes. And Steve Alford, I think, was expecting Meadowlark Lemon and buckets full of confetti. And they got a team of ex-NBA and college players who came in there and played real basketball and beat them in an exhibition. And Steve got mad about it, which is still, I will remember that as long as I'm on this side of the ground. The indignity in Steve Alford's voice in the post-game news conference when he had to address the loss and didn't count on the record. It was an exhibition to the Harlem Globetrotters.
Let me get this straight. He was upset because his team lost to a team that never loses.
Basically, I think he thought they're giving them a paycheck, come in and lose.
Like, it's the Harlem Globetrotters.
Give us a test.
That's literally the opposite of what they do.
Here's your check. And instead, it was, okay, yeah, you got a little sweet Georgia Brown there, warm-up music and everything, and holy cow, these guys are balling.
Yeah, those guys are good. Those guys are good basketball players. So he thought that the check...
I did say Oliver Miller, thank you, 52-30. I thought I did.
He thought that the check was going to make the Harlem Globetrotters act like the Washington Generals for one
night.
Pretty
much. Or, hey, give us
solid
a game.
Solid logic there,
give
Stevie.
Give us a game, and then in the final 2 minutes... maybe you can just take your foot off the gas. 319-366-1600. I don't have an answer on Oliver Martin.
We heard from Nate Stanley yesterday. He was the first to really allude to anybody being even positive about the fact that he might be granted eligibility. So that was the first time we've heard about
it. So one way or the other, he's working out with the team and he's a part of the team. It's just... you got to play the waiting game here,
right.
And there's no timetable on this. The NCAA, and we know from previous run-ins with the NCAA, they're not exactly a well-oiled machine. They don't have a playbook when it comes to this. They can't say, okay, from the time that you're granted the transfer, there's a 14-day or a 10-day window, and you'll know definitively within that window. They could drag their feet until September. if they wanted to.
They could, and that's the scary thing. I don't think they will. We should find out fairly soon before the season, because enough people complaining about it will get them to act. That's usually how that works. But there seems to be at least now a little bit more momentum towards him being able to play. And by the way, you remember when we were at Big Ten Media Day and Caron Higdon compared him to Wes Welker?
Yes.
We had another comparison yesterday.
Oh, hold on. Let me...
I'll give you a hint.
I'm going to reach into the recesses of my brain and come up with white possession receivers. We've already taken Wes Welker off the board. Is it Julian Edelman?
No, I was going to tell you it came from Nate Stanley.
Oh, it came from Nate Stanley.
And it's he compared him to another one of his receivers.
I'm going to say it's either Matt Vandenberg. Did he play with Stanley? Play with Vandenberg, or was there a year? So I'm going to say Matt Vandenberg or Nick Easley.
The second one is correct.
The Iowa football version of
Wes Welker,
of that stereotype.
Julian Edelman.
Caron Higdon was. Oh yeah, man, he's going to be on the field. He's great. He's explosive. He's athletic, and I think he is. I just think he was miscast at Michigan. And now he's going to get an opportunity to prove all of the doubters wrong. 319-366-1600. We'll take a quick timeout. Oh, you want to keep it here? We'll keep it here. Kyle's going to bring you a big board update brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. Remember, they're moving to a new permanent location soon, but you can still find them at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Drive. Keep them in mind for all of the summer construction projects, big or small, that you may have around the house. Author Galen White is going to be with us on the program shortly. Here's Kyle.
Now, former Iowa volleyball coach Bon Szymanski was officially terminated this afternoon, but that was a mere formality, really. We've known for about a month now that Szymanski had committed a major NCAA violation, confirmed today to be of the impermissible benefit variety. We got another set of preseason All-Americans today, this time from Athlon Sports. A.J. Epinesa and Amir Smith-Marset as a returner were named to the first team, Alaric Jackson to the second team, and Tristan Wirfs to the fourth team. We're just one day out from the NBA draft, and just in terms of the general consensus we have available out there, Iowa's Tyler Cook looks like a fringe second rounder, Iowa State's Lindell Wigginton would be a surprise to be selected, and his former Cyclone teammate Talon Horton-Tucker will be drafted. It's just going to be a matter of when and where. He's been regarded as a fringe first rounder through most of this process, but 24 hours prior to the draft, he appears more likely to be just on the outside rather than the inside. The Midwest League All-Star teams played to a tie in regulation last night, which led to something pretty cool. A one-on-one home run derby determined the winner, with Chris Betts, a catcher in the Rays system, winning it for the East after also winning the home run derby the day before. The Colonels' Chris Williams and Gabe Snyder went hitless, but pitcher Josh Winder made an appearance and struck out both batters he faced. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins, who last night, by the way, preserved their status as the only team in baseball that still hasn't lost three games in a row. They've got one more game with the Red Sox tonight, and you can hear it, as always, on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
I see Byron Buxton is back on the injured list, which is always no good for the Twins. He's been healthy this year and has been having a tremendous breakout. Max Kepler coming up with a big game last night for the Twins as well. We'll get them for you on 107.5 FM. The North Gym. Kyle's big board reminds me of today's poll question at KGYMradio.com. Do you like how the Midwest League settled its All-Star game last night? Yes or no? Tie game, and instead of putting the dopey runner on second base and going to sudden death like that, home run derby. Put your guy at the plate. I think it was 90 seconds or something like that, and we'll settle it in a way that I think people would find at least to be somewhat entertaining. 366-1600, that's the poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Again, you can find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. The question that we've been tackling here for the better part of the last 20 minutes is, who would you drive coast to coast with in a car? Stephen A. Smith, LeVar Ball, or O.J. Simpson? Being able to drop one of them off the first time that you needed to fill up for gas, one of them in the middle of the country here in Iowa, and then you've got to go the rest of the way with the third remaining person in the car. And what a lot of people have taken into account is that LeVar and Stephen A. would be just volatile with one another, and so you have to get LeVar out of the equation. That leaves you with O.J. and Stephen A., and I think it leaves you with a little bit of a quandary. 319-366-1600. I don't think we will revisit that anytime soon, but it's because we've got a lot more to get to. Showdown / face-off on the way after we chat with Galen White. And Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is coming up with us in the 6 o'clock hour. Good to be back here. Wish it was under better circumstances. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. Galen White joins us next. Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Get ready for Fairfax USA Days, June 21st and 22nd. Come for the Friday Street Dance with Robin Banks. Free kids carnival and activities. Huge parade, hero breakfast, and fireworks display. There'll be lots of fun for your whole family.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
Give your backyard an update with landscape and patio blocks and save with 11% off everything. Whether it's flawless landscaping, a spacious patio, or a sturdy retaining wall, there's no limit to what you can create. Pick up 12-inch smooth patio block for just 97 cents each after sale price and 11% off. Save with 11% off everything at Menards. Good through June 22nd. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Whether your project's below ground, above ground, or you're just breaking ground, United Rentals has the equipment and tools you need. We sell expertly maintained used equipment from forklifts and backhoes to scissor lifts and boom lifts. Visit us online to search our inventory of more than 4,000 equipment categories and get custom information on any unit. Visit unitedrentals.com/used today.
It's only 33 days till the big ride across the state, and you'll have even more fun riding with the right gear for a safe, comfortable ride. Get your bike tuned up and all the accessories you need right now at Hall Bicycle, 419 2nd Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
We're talking about a potential megastar.
This team needs a franchise cornerstone. They need someone they can build around.
The NBA Draft.
Thursday night starting at 6 here on the gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
5:35, we welcome you back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you till 7 o'clock tonight. 6 o'clock tomorrow because of the NBA Draft. We'll be stepping out a little early. And then on Friday, as I'm tending to family business once again, it'll be Alex and Kyle with you from the comforts of the KGYM studios. The 5 o'clock face-off taking place instead of the 6 o'clock showdown tonight, coming up in just a few minutes, your opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Be listening here in the 5 o'clock hour for your chance to win. But as promised, we have with us now author Galen White on the program. We've actually had someone that Galen had collaborated with in the past, Ransom Jackson, had been on the program with us a couple years. He unfortunately is no longer with us, but Galen has a new book out. This is right up my alley. I'm looking really looking forward to reading this. Left on Base in the Bush Leagues: Legends, Near Greats, and Unknowns in the Minors. Galen, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and this is a really fascinating subject. I love minor league baseball. I love that era. This is primarily guys from the 50s and 60s, but they're guys who never made the major leagues. So I imagine that this is a very difficult subject to research. How did you settle on this?
Well, I settled on it
I grew up in Los Angeles, and the Coast League at that time was a minor league. The Dodgers didn't come out to L.A. until 1958, so I was born in 46, so up until age 12, I was watching some of these guys come through L.A., and there were guys like Joe Barovia, who's in the book, who's one of the all-time great characters as well as hitters, Bob Dillinger, who had been in the big leagues and had a 306 average, winds up in the Coast. And I was just curious, what are these guys doing down here when they're so good, so great of ball players? Why aren't they in the majors? And that curiosity eventually led me to start researching in the 1970s, guys like Joel Bauman, who had 72 home runs at Roswell in 1954. So basically it was curiosity. It was a curiosity that I shared with people like Jack McKeon, Trader Jack McKeon, he later became known as. But I was in Kansas City when Jack was there, and I was out at Royal Stadium and had time to talk with him and one of his coaches, Harry Dunlop, and we exchanged names and ideas, and out of that came Left on Base in the Bush Leagues.
I hear it all the time. So this book obviously goes back to the minor leagues and during that era. The term Bush League, where does that originate?
Well, the guy who made it famous was Ring Lardner, the great writer who wrote Letters from the Bushes and Alibi Ike, You Know Me, Al. He celebrated these guys in the minors, and they were colorful characters, and I loved Ring Lardner's writing. So personally, I grew up on his writing, even though I was born many years later. Now, Ring Lardner was a writer around 1910 through the 1920s. Then he became a screenwriter. But the name Bush or Bush Leaguers actually existed prior to Ring Lardner, but he more or less made it a household name.
Now, you brought up one of the guys I was going to ask you about. I actually have an autographed Bob Dillinger baseball card at home. How did he wind up in the book? What was unique about his he actually did, as you said, play in the major leagues, but his time in the majors, I believe, with the Pirates was rather fleeting.
Well, first off, he played for lousy teams, from the St. Louis Browns to the Philadelphia Athletics to the Pittsburgh Pirates. The only good team he played for was the Chicago White Sox. Bob Dillinger would tell you that the management didn't think they got the respect they deserved from him, and in turn, Dillinger didn't get the respect that he probably was deserving. He was a kind of a curmudgeon. He was not easy to understand, but he was a great hitter. In fact, one of his teammates, Chuck Stevens, believed that if Dillinger had tried a little harder and not had some of these battles he had with people around him, he would have been another Pete Rose. He won, as it is, three straight stolen base titles in the American League. At one time, he was the most wanted player in baseball. By that, I mean the Yankees and everybody were willing to pay what was then a pretty high price tag of $250,000 for him. And a couple years later, nobody was claiming him at the price of $10,000, and that's how he wound up in the Coast League playing for the Sacramento Solons.
Yeah, you kind of tackle that subject of players that played in the Pacific Coast League at the time. Some people sort of considered that another major league, and players that didn't want to move up to the major leagues. Was that sort of a common thing among players who played in that league?
First off, your major league minimum salary at that time was anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000. In the 50s, it was $6,000 and $7,000. These guys could make as much money in the Coast League. The weather was milder, and so therefore, if they were older, it extended their careers. They were traveling by air on the West Coast prior to the big leagues. So they had a pretty good deal. They were staying in nice hotels. They were visiting nice cities, San Francisco, San Diego, Portland, Seattle. That's not too bad compared with some of the cities back east at a time that, air conditioning was just coming in the 50s. So it could get pretty hot in some of those eastern cities. So these players, in many cases, preferred the West Coast. You get to the lower minors, like I write about Joe Bauman at Roswell, New Mexico, and Tom Jordan at Roswell and other places in West Texas and eastern New Mexico. These guys had they had a second career. In Joe Bauman's case, he had a Texaco service station. He made more money from the Texaco service station than he did from baseball. And if you combine his two salaries, he made more than he would have in the majors. So Joe was content to pumping gas during the day and pumping home runs over the fence at night. He also made quite a bit of money from a tradition they called picking the screen. When a guy would hit a home run, the hometown fans would stick $1, $5, $10 bills through the screen. When Joe Bauman broke the record in 1954, the single-season home run record, he got $800 the night he broke the record. So it wasn't unusual for a guy to pick up $100, $200 for a home run in a ball game.
You mentioned Joe Bauman, and the Minor League Home Run Award every year is still named after him. And you hear right. Roswell, and you think Roswell and Area 51 and things of that nature. What was the level of play that he was participating in when he hit 73 home runs? I mean, was this kind of – how would you equate it to today's minor leagues?
I would say today would be Double A. And I say that because you had far more minor leagues at that time. In 1949, for example – you had 59 minor leagues. You had 447 towns with teams. You had, of course, the classifications went all the way down to Class D, then C, B, A, AA, AAA. And the classifications, they weren't necessarily based on talent or ability. It was based on population. The teams were given a certain ranking. Class C was because of the size of the city. And so that's what the leagues were based on. Joe went as high as Double A. He was at Minneapolis at one point, got in one at bat. The guy who played first base, Joe played first base, so his competition there was the defending batting champion. So they sent him to Hartford, Connecticut, Class A. He spent a year there, hated it, went back to Oklahoma after the Boston Braves, the parent club, wanted to cut his salary $200 a month. And he said, I can make more money selling shoestrings in the streets of Oklahoma City. So he left organized baseball altogether, played semi-pro ball in Elk City, Oklahoma for 3 years, and then returned finally to organized ball in 1952. And then 52, 53, and 54, he led all of the minors in home runs again. So these guys, guys like Joe Bauman, Tom Jordan, who walked away from three different teams in the big leagues, he had a career batting average in the minors of .338. He was a player manager. Tom had a ranch in Roswell, New Mexico. Made more money from cotton than he did from catching in the big leagues. So they were very independent, and they also this was their way of kind of telling management, which controlled everybody, hey, I got another way of life if I want it.
People who have listened to the program have probably never heard of Steve Dalkowski, but they've probably have seen a movie that he sort of played a role in creating a character. What can you tell us about him?
Ron Shelton, the producer of Bull Durham, either played with Dalkowski or played against him. I'm not real clear on what that is. But at any rate, he was certainly familiar with Steve Dalkowski and used Dalkowski, who was an extremely wild pitcher. He was a hard drinker as well, and used him as the basis for the character Nuke LaRouche in Bull Durham. There is a kind of a pop artist who has taken Dalkowski and did a painting of him and Ricky Wildthane Vaughn. So Dalkowski is one of these guys who, well, he was a legend and never made it to the big leagues, but when he left baseball, the Sporting News called him a legend in his own time. He 1 year walked 262 guys, and he also struck out 262. His nickname, one of his nicknames, was Whiff or Walk Dalkowski. A great fastball pitcher. Some believe threw harder than anybody. Cal Ripken Sr. believed he threw harder than Nolan Ryan. Legend has it that his fastball once tore off the earlobe of one of the batters. By the way, that is not true. I interviewed the fellow, and he still has it. He does remember getting hit in the head, however. So Dalkowski is one of those legends that I write about because the minor leagues produced a lot of legends. Joe Bauman was a sort of a mythical character. He once hit a home run that hit the lights in the ballpark there in Artesia, and they all exploded. Who does that remind you of? Roy Hobbs and the Natural. So, again, these are guys who, in their region or in their hometown, they were just as big a hero as anybody in the big leagues.
Galen, we appreciate you taking time to join us on the program. Before we let you go, was there one player's story in particular that you really enjoyed getting into print and telling his story?
I guess my favorite is Joe Brovia, one of the all-time great characters right out of the pages of Ring Lardner. And Joe was obsessed with hitting, and he went hitless one night in Seattle. And his roommate was a pitcher named Marino Peretti. They were both Italian. Marino was a little guy. Joe was a big guy. And Marino was to pitch the next day, and he had gone back to his hotel to get some rest, go to bed a little early. Well, Joe comes in after going hitless, and he's complaining. Marino can hear him in the other bed. Finally, Joe gets up, grabs the hanger. He's not wearing any clothes, stands in front of the hanger, and he's practicing his swing, and he yells at Marino, look at my back shoulder. What am I doing wrong? And Marino says, there's nothing you're doing wrong. Your balls are too heavy. And the next day, Joe went 4-for-4, and he told everybody Marino had straightened out his swing.
Galen, we appreciate you taking the time to join us on the program. And again, the book's called Left on Base in the Bush League's Legends, Near Greats, and Unknowns in the Minors. You can get it online or at a local bookstore here in eastern Iowa. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good stuff there from Galen, and we've been looking forward to chatting with him. And folks who've listened to the program for a long time will recall Ransom Jackson, former infielder for the Dodgers and Cubs, who was on with us a couple years ago. He unfortunately is no longer with us, but he collaborated with Galen on his autobiography, which is on my shelf at home. So those stories, I remember seeing Vida Blue, a great pitcher for the Oakland Athletics back in the 70s, came to Burlington a couple years ago for a hot stove banquet. He had pitched in the minor leagues with Burlington back in the day and had amazing strikeout numbers. Just you look at some of the minor league numbers from the 50s and 60s and you wonder how these guys were doing it. Vida Blue said he did it because the lighting in the ballparks was so terrible and he threw so hard, guys were just not comfortable digging in because they couldn't see the ball. That's not a problem nowadays because minor league baseball has minimum standards across the board where your lighting has to be meet certain standards, otherwise you can't even have a team. But definitely looking forward to checking that book out, and hopefully you will as well if you're a baseball fan. 319-366-1600. Ed Creech is going to be with us coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We're a little tight for time here, so I think we're going to push the 5 o'clock face-off to the 6 o'clock hour. So it's going to morph back into the 6 o'clock showdown. But when we return, we'll tell you about a celebrity softball game that's coming to Eastern Iowa with a lot of familiar faces. Back with more after this.
With a great deal of American pride, Buffalo Wild Wings announces a great deal on American beer just in time for soccer. Budweiser and Bud Light Talls are now just $3. May the soccer gods bless America as our women dominate the field. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask how fast you can get some $3 talls for your country. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
At participating locations, dine-in only. Hours of availability may vary by location. Other limitations may apply where required by law. Must be 21 plus. Void where prohibited. Some locations may only offer this promotion on U.S. match days.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now, too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
We know with the right combination of sunny days, picnics, and trips to the lake, some summers can last a lifetime. We know the great outdoors. We love the great outdoors. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, where you can save big during our Star Spangled Summer Sale. Like select men's Henley shirts and logo t-shirts for under $10 each. and a Coleman 48 quart cooler for under $20. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Your adventure starts here.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Need a specialized tool to finish your vehicle repair? There's no need to buy it if you're only going to use it once. Check out O'Reilly Auto Parts' Loaner Tool Program, available at any O'Reilly store. Find tools like a ball joint press, disc brake caliper tool set, and more. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
After a marathon 17-inning game, Twins and the Red Sox meet one more time to decide the series on Wednesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
5:52. Welcome back in. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Wednesday here in Eastern Iowa. I had to double-check the calendar one last time, as the last week or so has been a blur here. We appreciate, or I appreciate anyway, those of you who muddled through without me, and certainly the folks here in the building who carried the load while I was gone. We're going to get to not the showdown or the face-off here, but we've still got an Amazon Alexa that we need to give away. Are you smarter than Alexa? Coming up in a matter of minutes. But first, this is cool and something we haven't really talked about a whole lot on the air, but Perfect Game, which many of you will be familiar with if you're baseball fans, and began here in Cedar Rapids and has sort of outgrown its humble Eastern Iowa roots, but is still rooted in Cedar Rapids for the most part. They're going to have a charity softball game at Veterans Memorial Stadium on Saturday, July 27th, to raise money for their Perfect Game Cares Foundation. And they released not all that long ago the list of people who will be participating in the game, and it's a lot of former major league players. These are some recognizable names. Tom Gordon, whose son Nick was here a couple years ago with the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Greg Vaughn, who was a tremendous slugger for the Milwaukee Brewers and the San Diego Padres, Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Todd Coffey, Mike Boddicker, a lot of people will remember the Norway native. Ryan Sweeney, former Chicago White Sox, Chicago Cub. Bruce Kim, another Norway native, former catcher and briefly an interim manager of the Chicago Cubs. Luis Gonzalez, a very solid big league player for the Astros.
One of my favorites growing up.
Cubs and Diamondbacks, among other players. And Hall of Famer Trevor Hoffman participating in this game, along with Tim Dwight, Jay Hilgenberg, Adrian Arrington, a lot of familiar names from across the sports world. So we get more information on that, we'll certainly pass it along to you. Again, that's going to be Saturday, July 27th at Perfect Game Field here in Cedar Rapids. So let's go ahead and do this. You're going to have to walk me through. I don't want to screw this up because it's the first time that I've been doing it this week, but we're asking people, are you smarter than Alexa? So if I get anything wrong here, I need you to jump in and correct me. But
no, you are right on track.
So we're going to play for you Alexa and her sensuous voice. If you're familiar with the Amazon Echo, she is your personal assistant. She can pretty much do everything for you. Are you smarter than Alexa? Alexa is going to state a fact, a sports-related fact, and it's up to you, the caller, to let us know whether it is an accurate fact or whether it's false. So we need the first caller after we hear this to 319-366-1600. You need to tell us whether the following statement from Alexa is true or false. And if you are correct, you're going to take home an Amazon Echo, which you can use to listen to radio stations like KGYM. People sometimes don't realize that those little thingamajigs can serve as a 21st century replacement for the old corded radio. So Amazon Echo on the line here. Alexa's going to make a statement, and we need to know whether this is true or false. Are you smarter than Alexa? 319-366-1600. Here's today's Alexa fact or fiction.
The Raptors are the first team to win an NBA title without a single lottery pick.
Is that true or false? 319-366-1600. Alexa says the Toronto Raptors are the first team to win an NBA title without a single lottery pick. Nick Nurse leading the Raptors to a championship, and that is doing for the NBA and the nation of Canada what the Toronto Blue Jays did for Major League Baseball back in the early 90s when they went to back-to-back World Series. Looks like we've got our first caller. Dan in Center Point is going to take a stab at this. Dan, are you smarter than Alexa? Is that fact or fiction?
I'm going to say it's fiction.
Now what do we do? I didn't ask you for this. We just go to the
next.
We
line up the next caller.
We go to the next caller. 319-36. Has this happened yet?
It has not happened yet.
See, this is the universe. This is, hey, let's go ahead and just make this as wonderful as possible as Todd returns to the show today. 366-1600. Okay. Kyle in Center Point. The Raptors. Are the Raptors the first team in NBA history to win a title without a single lottery pick? Yes or no?
No.
Hello? Okay. Yep. Yeah, no, we got you, Kyle. We heard you. 319-366-1600. There are two choices here, and we've had the same choice now twice, and it was not the correct one. So let's head to Amana. Ben in Amana, are you smarter than Alexa? Are the Raptors the first team in NBA history to win a title without a single lottery pick on the roster? Yes or no?
Yes.
Congratulations, Ben. You're going to take home a brand new Amazon Echo. We'll put you on hold, and Kyle's going to get you information on how we'll get that to you. Are you smarter than Alexa? We will play again coming up tomorrow. Now, if you did not get through, or you did and you were unsuccessful, you'd still like to win a nice prize with us today. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, it's the 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions in 60 seconds. Someone's going to win a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll just go ahead and keep it here as that ran a little bit longer than we were anticipating it. But the Raptors, that was a true statement from Alexa. Hard to believe, not a single lottery pick on that roster, and yet they wind up winning the title this year over Golden State, and they had a very nice parade of their own, as did St. Louis, the Blues winning the Stanley Cup. And Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is going to join. He's probably smarter than Alexa, too. We'll ask him after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Orange. The breaking news coming out of this hour is out of the Dominican Republic. That just leaves you scratching your head a little bit, but here is the very latest. Authorities in the Dominican Republic, Attorney General Jean Alain Rodriguez, said the target of the assassination attempt of David Ortiz was not the former Red Sox legend. In fact, it was a friend of David Ortiz's who was sitting at the same table two Sunday nights ago. The target was another fan dressed very similar to David Ortiz. The Attorney General has named Victor Hugo Gomez, a Gulf cartel member, as the mastermind of this whole plot. It continues to get a little hairy, but that's the latest at this hour from the Dominican Republic. David Ortiz being shot was a case of mistaken identity. Sure. Zion Williamson to the Pelicans. So much of a guarantee, Vegas doesn't even have odds on it. John Morant to the Grizzlies at number 2 tomorrow night. That appears more likely after what happened today, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Memphis agreed to trade longtime point guard Mike Connolly to the Utah Jazz for Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, Jay Crowder, along with a 23rd overall pick and a future first-round pick. Obviously, the Grizzlies are in position to draft John Morant now as the headliners of the draft after Williamson at number one. We all find out together tomorrow night, beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Radio and Television. Christian Yelich, home run number 27 on the year. His big league leading, but the Brewers trailing San Diego 8-7, top nine.
The 2019 NBA Draft, live from the Barclays Center in New York. Coverage begins tomorrow at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
The year was 1919. Barbasol shaving cream was invented by a dreamer named Frank Shields. The world's first modern shave cream, Barbasol changed the face of shaving forever. A few billion shaves later, Frank's dream lives on. Behind every face is a dream. Barbasol proudly salutes every fearless, self-assured, wide-eyed dreamer all across America. Celebrating 100 years, Barbasol.
They always told Will he was too short to play basketball, but Will never listened. Will let his work ethic do the talking for him. Always in the gym, always running drills. Will knew where there was a will, there was a way, and he was Will. But then, after his second child was born, he realized the pros were all way better than him. So Will gave up and buried his high tops in a tearful ceremony. But one day, he heard that Geico could save him money on car insurance, so he switched and saved a bunch, which was awesome.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Need a specialized tool to finish your vehicle repair? There's no need to buy it if you're only going to use it once. Check out O'Reilly Auto Parts' Loaner Tool Program, available at any O'Reilly store. Find tools like a ball joint press, disc brake caliper tool set, and more. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
After a marathon 17-inning game, Twins and the Red Sox meet one more time to decide the series on Wednesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provost on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:04, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern. Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio as well as 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, and online at kgymradio.com, where you can vote in today's poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Do you like the way the Midwest League settled its All-Star game last night? They went to a home run derby instead of a usual tiebreaker. Yes or no? Polls brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. 6 o'clock showdown on the way tonight. Your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. But our next guest is with us, Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. And Ed, an hour ago, we were chatting with an author, Galen White, who wrote a book about minor league baseball players, most of which who had never made it to the major leagues. Do you have a particular player who comes to mind, a favorite guy who never made it to the major leagues that you think of?
Oh, my goodness. That's a simple one for me. Tim Dillard. Well, Scoot, nope, he made it to the majors. Oh,
I think that's a good question. He would qualify.
He's had a couple of cups of coffee, but I think Dillard's more known for, his minor league career and being the clubhouse social media director. But off the top of my head, other than Dillard, who, like I said, had a couple of cups of coffee, that's a tough question.
Well, Ed, let's go ahead and start our biweekly conversation here. The Cubs and the White Sox are taking part in the Crosstown Series at Wrigley Field, and you couldn't have written a better ending to last night's game if you were a White Sox fan, right?
Yeah, I think Jason Benatti, the White Sox TV play-by-play broadcaster, I think said it right just as Jimenez was crossing home plate. He said, "Thank you, Cubs." That's what this trade's going to go down. For right now, it's Jimenez for Quintana and with Dylan Cease on the horizon. So, the Cubs did eventually get a World Series out of it, but I think for long-term stability, I think this is going to be a big win for the White Sox. And Jimenez, his potential, he's just scratching the surface of it right now. This guy has a potential to be a monster. Power that you know, as far as a current day player, like say for example, an Encarnacion who was just traded to the Yankees. I think he will eventually become a passable enough outfielder where he can probably stay on the grass and not have to soak up a full time DH spot. I'm really excited.
Is this sort of the jumping off point here for the White Sox fan base? They've been ready for this rebuild to sort of take that next step forward, and with the Michael Kopech injury last year, and just sort of seemed like they were spinning their wheels. But now you've got Lucas Giolito, who's having a breakout season, and Jimenez is healthy and providing that spark last night. Is that going to be a game that White Sox fans maybe look back on and say, you know what, this is sort of the start of the run here?
It could be, but the White Sox fans are probably one of the most pessimistic and jaded ones there are. They are a fan base that has to be shown. They have to be proven to them. I have a friend of mine who is a diehard White Sox fan, and he was just playing the what-if game. Oh, what if Kopech hadn't had the Tommy John surgery? That's probably another five games. There's a lot of that among the White Sox fan base. I think it comes a little bit the inferiority complex, sharing the same town as the Cubs. And the headline in the Tribune, I believe, today was, you know, the Cubs let one get away. It's one that the White Sox won, the one the White Sox took. So I think, you know, every time the White Sox fans start to feel good about the progress of what happens, Kopech's Tommy John, Dunning's Tommy John, Lopez taking a step backwards, there's always something. And so I think they're cautiously optimistic, but I don't think they're as far along in their rebuild as what the Padres are, with them bringing up as many top 100 prospects and actually excelling what they've seen so far this year in San Diego.
With the Cubs and to a certain extent the Brewers as well, the Brewers in first place right now, but it seems like whenever anybody in the NL Central gains some headway, there's sort of a tailspin that follows. Are we going to see this for, well, we'll call it the next 4 months?
Oh, absolutely. I honestly believe that. You take a look right now, injury-wise, I think everybody's been okay. They've had their minor injuries that they've had to overcome, but I think each team has had their own, in the macro, their own issues. For the Cubs, it's three very, very bad road trips. The first one of the year, the 9-game trip, they went 2-7. The trip that took them to Houston and St. Louis, they went 1-5. And this most recent one where they visited Colorado and the Dodgers, they went 2-4. They were 2-5. So of those three trips, they're 5-17. That's 12 games under 500. And if you want to be a contending team in any division, you can't play that bad on the road. You take a look at where St. Louis is right now. I think they're about three and a half games behind the Brewers. Where has their Achilles heel been? Wrigley Field. They're 0-6 at Wrigley Field. They need to figure out a way to win at Wrigley Field. That doesn't go into trying to sort out their starting rotation, sort out their bullpen and whatnot. So I think just solid baseball, split, win two or three at home, split on the road, and I think you're going to have these three teams right at the end. And there are always going to be these ups and downs. Right now the Brewers are having a tough time on their road trip. They're on the verge of being swept by San Diego if they haven't already been, as we're speaking. So it is going to be like this. There's always going to be highs. And I just don't see, unless something unless one of these three teams pulls off a major blockbuster at the trade deadline, I just don't see either of any of these three teams having the wherewithal to put enough separation between themselves and the other two. So I think this is going to be a very tight race for the next 4 months.
Ed Creech with us from MLBTradeRumors.com. As a Brewers fan, you certainly are in no hurry to give Christian Yelich back to the Marlins, but have you taken notice of what Jordan Yamamoto has done in his two starts in the big leagues?
He was a very high upside throw-in. And let's go back to another well-regarded Brewers trade that they would do again in a heartbeat when they acquired C.C. Sabathia. Who was a throw-in in that trade? Michael Brantley, who's going to be an all-star this year and has been in the past. So you got to be careful about these throw-ins. They usually are high upside, high-risk players, and Yamamoto had a great debut. And it's weird to say that as of right now, the four players they received for them, he had the least amount of notoriety, but so far he's had the biggest impact in that one start because Brinson is just struggling. He continues to struggle at AAA. Harrison, I think, has all the tools, but he's yet to put it together. And Nissan Diaz, I think, is progressing there and would not surprise me if he's the opening day starting second baseman for the Marlins next year.
I'd always, anytime throw-ins come up, I always think of Ryan Sandberg back in the 80s with Dallas Green and his familiarity with the Phillies system. And Larry Boa, Ivan De Jesus. Hey, how about that double-A player? Throw Ryan Sandberg in there. 319-366-1600. Josh Bell or Cody Bellinger? Who's your National League MVP right now?
I think I'm going to go with Bellinger. I like, you know, even though Andre Dawson won the NL MVP playing for the last place Cubs back in the day, I really do believe a most valuable player. I give a lot of credence to how his team's doing. Are you helping your team to victory? And I think right now, Bellinger with leading the Dodgers to the best record in the National League, still, I believe, I think they still have the better league record over the Braves. I think he gets the edge right now. I'm still not totally sold on Josh Bell. I think he's had a good year. I think he deserves to be the starting first baseman on the National League All-Star team. But I think if I had to pick between the two, it'd be Bellinger. But then again, I think whenever we talk MVP in the National League, Christian Yelich still has to be in that conversation.
Now, we were talking about trades, and you brought up the Quintana trade, and you brought up a couple other ones, the Brewers and Marlins. I've asked a couple people about the Chris Archer deal and how bad it looks like right now. Is it too early to call this a complete disaster for the Pittsburgh Pirates? Because it sure looks like one right now.
I wouldn't call it a complete disaster. I guess I'm in the minority. I think people are more sold on Archer's potential than what he's actually delivered. I think he's overrated. He's had injury histories. And I just don't think he has been able to put it together. I don't think he's an ace. If you have lower expectations of him, where you think maybe mid-rotation, then maybe he slots in a little bit better. He's had a difficult year this year. In defense of the Pirates, when they gave up on Glasnow and Meadows, what sporadic games they had at the major league level, they were so-so. You know, the Pirates have a reputation, especially with their pitching coach, Ray Sears, about getting a reclamation projects and getting the most out of their pitchers. But as far as the young kids that they're developing, Glasnow had serious issues and before he developed in Tampa. They released Nick Kingham recently, who was also supposed to be a top prospect. Garrett Cole blossomed in Houston and struggled in Pittsburgh. So I think with veteran reclamation projects, Pirates do okay. Jordan Lyles would be the latest example of that. But as far as the young pitchers that they draft and develop, they just have not done a very good job at that. So, you know, at the time of the deal, again, I think the potential of Archer is what overweighed the prospects of Meadows and Glasnow. But I think, all in all, I think you're right. When you're a small market team like the Pirates, you need to develop your own prospects at the minimum salary and not trade them away for a high salary kid like Archer, even though he was on a team friendly contract. So disaster, yes, disaster. I still want to see what happens with Glasnow and Meadows as they continue to develop past this year.
Kind of sounded like you were describing the Minnesota Twins there, draft and develop your own prospects, stay the course with them. Is anything going to slow, other than maybe injuries, because Byron Buxton's now headed to the injured list, is anything going to slow Minnesota down at this point?
Injuries, yes. When you lose three players in the span of 48 hours, that's something to be concerned about. But they were able to survive the injury list placement for both Nelson Cruz and Mitch Garver. I'm going to be worried about, if I'm a Twins fan, is that the last couple of years, the Cleveland Indians have been able to reel off a very long, a double-digit win streak. Does Cleveland have that in them this year? And if so, what does Minnesota do during that streak? Are they able to keep pace? Will they only lose maybe a couple, three games? I think that's going to be the key thing. Can Cleveland pull off that long double-digit win streak, and can Minnesota hold serve during that long win streak? If Cleveland can't put it together, and I still think that is a very tall question with the injuries they've had in the rotation. Clevinger's back, but he had a so-so start against Detroit. Their outfield, I think, is still a mess. They've got a nice little find in that rookie Mercado, but I still think the other two positions are below the OPS league average. Kipnis is still a disaster, and so is Ramirez. So I like where Minnesota is right now. Injuries, I think, is going to probably be the biggest thing for them because they've only needed four starts from their current rotation. That's it. If that's the kind of help that starting rotation can enjoy, I like Minnesota to run away with this division. But if one or two of those rotation guys get nicked, there's not a lot of depth. And again, there's not a lot of depth among the position players as well. So if they start losing them in bunches like they have the last 48 hours, that's going to be an issue for Minnesota. But if everybody can stay healthy, Minnesota is going to be feeling mighty fine about their chances to win the division.
What about in the AL East? The Yankees getting healthy. They add Edwin Encarnacion. Is this a team that's going to run away with the AL East?
No, I don't think so. Because as we've seen, when players, whether they're pitchers or position players, when they come from a long layoff, they take time to get back in shape. Very rarely. Very rarely do players come back at their best. So let's see Stanton. Stanton's had a couple of setbacks on his rehab. Let's see how he does when he finally gets in the swing of things. And same thing with Judge. I'm not convinced that they're going to be running away with it. I think Tampa's got a nice vibe going in that dugout. They're getting a lot of great production from unheralded players, and I think Boston's got too much talent. Another thing that I think is going to keep the AL East bunched up is that the Yankees' rotation is, again, patchwork. Severino hasn't thrown a pitch for them. Sabathia is looking like a guy who's been his last year. Paxton's been hurt. And again, they don't have a lot of rotation depth. So, yes, they may have the greatest lineup since the Bronx Bombers when everybody's healthy with Sanchez and Judge and Stanton and Carcion and the nice job that LeMahieu has done with them and Torres and the rest. But that pitching, there may be a lot of 10, 8, 12, 10 games involving the Yankees in the second half of the season.
And I want to circle back to the Indians for just a second. Jose Ramirez has just completely fallen off a cliff this year after a couple of years putting up MVP caliber numbers. Is there hope for him in turning it around in the second half, or are we seeing sort of a regression to the norm here?
I don't know if it's so much a regression to the norm, but it's just a bad slump that he's in, and this may end up being a wasted year. There's you know, the Brewers are going through this with a couple of their players, Travis Shaw and Jesus Aguilar, and you've got to wonder, okay, how much of this is just a slump that you can break out of, or how much of this is just going to be a year-long thing? And it's getting to that point with Ramirez that you're thinking this is going to be a year-long thing. Now, if he can bust out of it and get back to his production in the second half, similar to what he's done the previous couple of years, then that's going to be, in essence, a huge trade acquisition for Cleveland, because I think their biggest problem right now, besides the injuries to their rotation, is just a really bad offense. And so if I'm not confident that Ramirez can turn it around, but if he can, it's going to be a big boost for Cleveland in the second half.
Ed, before we part ways, a Midwest League All-Star game last night, settled by a home run derby. Is this something that you wouldn't mind seeing at the Major League level? All-Star game only, of course.
I love it. To me, it is similar to the shootout that the NHL has to settle games that remain tied after regulation in OT. Have the manager put up the hitters he wants and slug it out just like the NHL shootout. I think it's a wonderful thing. I think the Major League Baseball should take it as well. Hell, I like this even better than in a regulation game, better than putting the runner at second base to start the extra inning. I like a home run contest better, because if the whole idea in minor league baseball is to save the pitching staff, just have it a home run hitting contest. Go with that. But as far as an all-star game, I think it's a wonderful idea for the Midwest League. And, yeah, you're right. I would love to see it in the Major League. They're very akin to the NHL shootout. So I like it. Big thumbs up.
Ed, appreciate our chats as always. We'll touch base with you in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com chatting Major League Baseball with us on a Wednesday afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. 319-366-1600 on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line if you would like to reach out. Jordan Yamamoto, two starts in the majors, both against the Cardinals, and lights out in both of them. This is the guy, as Ed said, was the throw-in in the Yelich trade, a pitcher who had never been above Class A at the time that he was traded. Lewis Brinson was the headliner. Monte Harrison was a toolsy player. Isan Diaz, toolsy shortstop. And oh, by the way, let's take a flyer on a pitcher. Give us Jordan Yamamoto out of Hawaii. And he's been dominant in two starts. Not only that, but to make two starts against the same team and get the same results, it's not often that you see that. Unfortunately for you, it came at the expense of your St. Louis Cardinals at this point. But Marlins, look, they have some intriguing pieces. It's not a team that's going anywhere, but they're sort of becoming a little bit more fun to watch than what they have been.
It's crazy when you look at how many bad teams there are in Major League Baseball right now, where the Marlins aren't even near. They're near the bottom. But you look at Baltimore, you look at Toronto. Every division other than the NL Central has a really, really terrible team in it, and that's why I think you're going to still see the peaks and valleys from these teams in the NL Central, and it'll be interesting to see what they do at the trade deadline. But I'll ask you this: with the throw in to a trade at the minor league level, is that sort of the equivalent of the last recruit for a recruiting class in college football, where that player maybe has a chip on their shoulder to prove themselves more than that top prospect?
It's a lot of times it's an organization from the baseball standpoint. It's an organization that maybe missed out on a guy in the draft. They had him on their board and another team takes them. And so a couple years later, you get a shot at getting them in your organization. I think to a trade that the Angels and the Diamondbacks made in 2010 can't remember the major league particulars, but it involved Tyler Skaggs and Patrick Corbin. And I think it was Tyler Skaggs that Arizona had wanted to take in the second round or third round. And the Angels sort of swooped in before them and took him. So, and the opportunity to make a trade came along and they finally got their guy. It just took a trade in order for that to happen.
It was Dan Heron.
That didn't age well.
Tyler, no, it did not.
Tyler Skaggs and Patrick Corbin have gone on to pretty solid big league careers, and Dan Heron aged. Fizzled out very quickly. It's the fickle nature of pitching prospects. That's why I don't get too high on any of them coming up, and I also don't completely throw them out with the bathwater. We haven't mentioned, and this is my neglecting this, but Mitch Keller made a third start in the major leagues last night for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and it was his best start to date. Couple earned runs, still striking guys out. Unfortunately, did not get a victory, but showing signs of why the Pirates believe in him as a long-term piece in the rotation. And I believe the last I saw was that he was still sticking around in the Pirates rotation. So Mitch Keller now has three Major League Baseball starts under his belt. Still looking for that first victory, but congratulations again to the Keller family, and we look forward to following along with his career with the Pirates. 6:25, we need to take a quick timeout. I love chatting with Ed as always. When we come back, we will play the 6 o'clock showdown, your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. So right now, we need callers number 1 and 2 to 319-366-1600. Callers number 1 and 2, your chance to win a Mulligan's gift card with us on the other side of this break. It's the 6 o'clock showdown, and it is next.
Style is certainly influenced by the times and current tastes. In fact, during Hertin and Stalker Jewelers' 70-plus years, they've seen colors, metals, and stones go in and out of vogue many times. That history gives the Dickens family a keen understanding of what's modern and fresh now, and what's great and beautiful from years past. That's why they offer estate pieces. These previously loved jewelry treasures are nicely priced, and the collection changes regularly, so there's always something new to discover. And if your own jewelry box holds a few things that don't quite suit you anymore, bring them into Hertin and Stalker Jewelers for cash or credit to use in store for something new. Come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
The Outlaws are coming. It's the World of Outlaws NOS Energy Drink Sprint Cars. Don't miss a single lap of high-speed wing sprint car racing with the most daring drivers on dirt. Sunday, June 23rd, the Outlaws race back to Dubuque Fairgrounds for one huge night. Don't miss special guest Casey Kane signing autographs at 3:30 p.m. Plus, you can save $5 on general admission tickets at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get your tickets today at slspromotions.com.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
We're talking about a potential megastar.
This team needs a franchise cornerstone. They need someone they can build around.
The NBA Draft.
Thursday night starting at 6 here on The Gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
All right, welcome back in. It is 6:29 on a Wednesday here in Eastern Iowa. Time for the 6 o'clock showdown. Your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We will be back at Mulligan's next Thursday, so a week from tomorrow, the next KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Ben in Cedar Rapids. He's going to be answering the questions that I'll be reading that Alex wrote earlier today. And Brian in Iowa City will be reading the questions that I've handed to Alex. Ben, hang tight. Brian and Alex are going to decide whether they would like to go first or last tonight.
Brian, first or last?
I will choose last, please.
All right, Ben, are you ready to set the bar for these two guys?
Hopefully, I.
Okay, 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you don't know the answer, just say pass. We'll circle back around to it. Who won the U.S. Open over the weekend? Which person has reportedly been banned from joining ESPN on its airwaves again?
LeVar Ball.
Correct. Which two Iowa football players were named first team All-Americans by Athlon Sports today?
Epinesa and Amir Smith-Marset.
Correct. Zion Williamson's expected to be the number one pick in the NBA draft tomorrow. Who's all but a lock to go number two to Memphis?
The point guard.
The Vezina Trophy is given annually to the best NHL player at this position.
Forward.
Tom Brady was on video throwing with this suspended wide receiver this weekend.
Josh Gordon?
Correct. And true or false, a Big Ten team is still alive at the College World Series?
True.
correct. Do we have time for the... He couldn't come up with John Morant's name. So, four.
John Morant, shoot.
That's all right. Hey, Ben, four is a pretty solid number, so hang tight, and we'll see whether Alex can bring home a victory or not.
Brian, you think you have five in you?
I certainly hope so.
All right. Well, you know the rule is 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you don't know the answer, say pass. We'll come back to it. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Which Hawkeye sports team is looking for a new head coach today?
Volleyball.
The Chicago Bulls hold this pick in tomorrow night's NBA draft.
Seven.
Who won last night's series opener between the Cubs and White Sox?
White Sox.
Where is the College World Series played each season?
Omaha.
According to reports, Minnesota tight end Kyle Rudolph was almost traded to this team.
Miami Dolphins.
In what state did a recent Little League Baseball brawl occur recently?
Pennsylvania.
Which team, East or West, won last night's Midwest League All-Star Game?
East.
I believe if my math is right, he got five. Well, that was a come-from-behind victory for the ages there, Ben. I apologize. I thought perhaps that four was going to be the lucky number tonight, but Brian and Iowa City are our winner this evening with Alex. He's going to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Not too often that we get one that competitive.
That was a really, really good 6 o'clock showdown.
Gary Woodland won the U.S. Open over the weekend.
Gary Woodland.
Couldn't come up with Ja Morant.
He knew it was Ja Morant. I'm sure he could picture Ja Morant and him dunking all over Marquette in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Knew he was the point guard. Got tongue-tied a little bit. I'm sure the 60-second sounder, it adds some pressure, and it sometimes makes you have lapses, but he was close, but that was the difference in the 6 o'clock showdown. Couldn't come up with John Morant.
It always gets you. And the Vezina trophy, I always say that wrong, I think.
Vezina.
The Vezina trophy is given to the best goalie in the league.
Let's see. The first one that he did not get, that would be the last one. Or according to reports, Minnesota tight end Kyle Rudolph was almost traded to the New England Patriots.
Really close, according to his telling of the story.
And a Little League Baseball brawl took place in the state of Colorado. It was a real life, like you said, Todd, South Park episode.
If you've ever seen the episode of South Park in which Randy Marsh turns into Bat Dad or fights Bat Dad, and sorry, I thought this was America, a 13-year-old umpire made a controversial call in... It brought parents out of the stands, onto the field, and...
We were just talking about this yesterday. The horror stories of umpires and parents at Little League games, and it happens.
It's
like saying Beetlejuice three times.
Who wants to put up with that for not a whole lot of pay? I did that for 5 years in doing high school baseball games, and... It was a struggle, night in and night out. If it wasn't one thing, it was another. But the worst was running into parents who had major issues. And the story that I always go back to was a father who, I think he was probably pretty sure that his son was going to be the next Alex Rodriguez, but spends $250, $300 on a bat from the East Bay catalog, and it had a coefficient of resistance, or whatever the terminology was, of like -5, and you couldn't have anything worse than a 3, lighter than a 3. There's a difference between inches and weight.
Right.
So
they call
if it's
drop 3, drop 5.
33-inch bat, 30 ounces.
Yeah, that's what I used.
And so it was a -5, and Junior's going up to the plate, and I was like, get the bat out of here. You can't use it.
It's illegal.
And so... I'm getting yelled at my car after the game from Dad, the person that sold us the bat, I asked, is this a legal bat? And they said yes. I said, well, next time, maybe don't take the word of someone who's trying to sell you a $300 bat and ask somebody who's familiar with the rule book. And I never did get an apology for that. And I still to this day remember, I'll use the term gentleman. I'm trying to be above the fray. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. And some days it's working better than others over the last couple days. 319-366-1600. Do we need to keep it here? Bring Kyle in for a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Alexander Lumber is located at a temporary location for the moment, 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City, soon to be moving in to bigger, spacious digs. We'll get you details on that once they finish that move or make it official. Here's Kyle.
Now, former Iowa volleyball coach Bon Szymanski was officially terminated this afternoon, which is really just a formality. We've known for about a month now that he was in hot water after committing a major NCAA violation that was confirmed today to be of the impermissible benefit variety. We got another set of preseason All-Americans today, this time from Athlon Sports. A.J. Epinesa and Demira Smith-Marset as a returner were named to the first team. Alaric Jackson was named to the second team and Tristan Wirfs to the fourth team. We're just one day out from the NBA draft, and in terms of the general consensus that's out there, Iowa's Tyler Cook appears to be a fringe second rounder, and Iowa State's Lindell Wigginton would be a surprise to be selected. His former Cyclone teammate Talon Horton-Tucker will be drafted, however. It's just going to be a matter of when and where. He's been regarded as a fringe first rounder through most of this process, but 24 hours prior to the draft, he appears more likely to be just on the outside rather than the inside. The Midwest League All-Star teams played to a tie in regulation last night, which led to something pretty cool. A one-on-one home run derby determined the winner, with Chris Betts, a catcher in the Rays system, winning it for the East after winning the home run derby the day before. The Colonels' Chris Williams and Gabe Snyder went hitless, but pitcher Josh Winder made an appearance and struck out both batters he faced. The Colonels are going to be back in action tomorrow. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the Twins, who last night, by the way, preserved their status as the only team in baseball that still hasn't lost three games in a row. They've got one more game with the Red Sox tonight, and you can hear it, as always, on 107.5 FM, The North, Jim.
319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can see the video yourself of that brawl in Colorado. It's all over online. The breaking news nationally within the last hour, the Dominican Republic officials, the authorities in the Dominican Republic, say that David Ortiz was not the intended target of the shooting that took place. Was that a little over a week ago now? Yeah.
Seems like it's been like a year, but because based on how many times the story and or the plot of the story has changed.
The Dominican authorities, the police and the government officials in that country are not exactly always on the up and up. And the story has it that the police were involved in this hit on David Ortiz. And so now they're saying that David Ortiz was not. What you need to understand about this is the Dominican Republic, okay? It's a small country for the most part. There are a lot of people that live there, but this is a small country, and this island nation eats, sleeps, breathes baseball. Guys who Miguel Sano was a star in the Dominican Republic when he was 15 years old because he was going to be a millionaire. He was going to be signed by a Major League Baseball team. David Ortiz is about the closest thing to a living God that that country has. And you try to convince me that this was a case of mistaken identity, that he wasn't the intended target. So either somebody's got really bad aim, or I'm not buying this at all. I'm going back to the original story that somebody was trying to send a message to Big Poppy. And apparently the message was they wanted him paralyzed. They wanted him alive. That's, you want to talk about somebody who's vindictive. He wanted him to survive, but he wanted him to not be able to walk again. And the latest update from David Ortiz's wife from Boston is that he's in good condition. I don't know what that means, but the story just continues to get more and more intriguing, but if you're just automatically going to buy the explanation that the Dominican officials provide for you, I'm not sure that I can help you, because to me, there's an odor there that I detect. David Ortiz. What's the United States equivalent of,
Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan, probably. Still to this day. LeBron. Back in the day, Muhammad Ali. Like, this is somebody who would walk down the street and your 80-year-old grandmother would know
right.
who Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan. That's David Ortiz in the Dominican Republic. So if you're going to tell me that he wasn't the intended target, that this was mistaken identity or bad aim, we'll see how this plays out. 6:41, we need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on a Wednesday edition of the show and turn our attention to a Thursday Todd Brolkamp show with Alex Kuhn after this.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Celebrate this season with a bang with the opportunity of a lifetime from Imon. For a limited time, lock in your internet price for life. That's right. Get Imon 80 megabit internet for just $64 a month and lock in this fantastic monthly rate for life. Freedom from annual price increases. No ugly surprises when your promotion expires. For the first time ever, you have the opportunity to lock it in for life. Switch to Imon's Price for Life internet service today. Go to imon.net/radio before July 4th to sign up and lock it in for life.
Stugatz here. We all have home projects we put off for too long. What's stopping you? For lots of people, they worry about overpaying and not getting a fair price. That's where Home Advisor can help. Their true cost guide shows you what others pay for similar projects. Then you can get matched with top-rated pros, read reviews, request quotes, and book appointments all for free. Home Advisor makes it easy to get those projects done so you can relax this summer. To find the right pro at a fair price, just ask Home Advisor. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
The gong, an instrument used to start a sumo wrestling match. At My Computer Career, it celebrates the start of a student's new life as an IT professional and completion of a student journey focused on the result, getting you out of an unrewarding job and into an IT career in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science, you know. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. The 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production. And it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
After a marathon 17-inning game, Twins and the Red Sox meet one more time to decide the series on Wednesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And we'll have that game for you coming up right here. As Jeff just said, on 107.5 FM, also heard here, local programming, 106.3 FM and 1600 AM. You can tune in online as well at KGYMradio.com. While you're there, vote in our poll question today, KGYMradio.com. It has to do with how the Midwest League settled its tied All-Star game last night in South Bend, Indiana. They turned not to runners on second base, as the minor league tie-breaking rules stipulate, but a home run derby. And Chris Betts of the Bowling Green Hot Rods, a catcher in the Tampa Bay system, won the home run derby the night before, and he actually winds up winning the game for the East by taking the home run derby in the tiebreaker. Now, something else happened at the Midwest League All-Star Game over the weekend. I don't know whether you guys covered this or not while I was absent, but Pitbull no-showed.
You're kidding me.
The Sunday,
Mr. Worldwide wasn't even there?
Mr. Worldwide no-showed Sunday's concert at Four Winds Field. They were close to a sellout. And he cited weather in Florida for the reason that he did not fly from Florida to South Bend. Andrew Berlin, who's the owner of the South Bend Cubs, who's also a minority partner in the Chicago Cubs, offered to send his private plane and his pilots to Florida. This is, rich people problems here. When you can solve a problem by sending your jet and your pilots, and the artist still doesn't take you up on it, then there's probably a bigger issue here. But there were some very upset people in South Bend, Indiana, who didn't get to see Pitbull. I'm thinking, somebody would have given me tickets to that show and Pitbull no-showed, probably would have made my night. But
yeah, I don't have to see Pitbull.
Mr. Worldwide, with the exception of South Bend, Indiana. Colonels are getting ready to kick off the second half later this week and had a couple roster moves today. Some players going up to Fort Myers and one player coming down. Always a little bit of a different look on minor league rosters after the All-Star break. It's not about winning championships. It's about getting guys to the next level and getting them to the major leagues. But the Twins have sent a playoff qualifying team to Cedar Rapids every single year that the Colonels have been affiliated with them, which is a pretty impressive string. And I know you guys chatted with Brian Dinkelman yesterday. I'm assuming the St. Louis Blues probably came up with him as well.
They did, and it was sort of about how the St. Louis Blues season followed the trajectory of the first half of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, where they started off poorly. They were sitting near the bottom of the standings halfway through that first half, and then late May and then into June. June is where they really turned it on, somehow crawled their way back into a wild card spot and got the tiebreaker. Was it over Burlington?
Over Burlington, they had a 6-4 head-to-head record with the Bees. So it came down to the last day of the season and the tiebreaker, and Cedar Rapids won two games against the Clinton Lumber Kings, and Burlington lost to Peoria. And so now Cedar Rapids will be in the postseason. So congratulations going out to the Colonels. 319-366-1600. A Wednesday program is in the books. I'm happy to put this one in the rearview mirror and move forward and, again, get back to whatever is the new normal for me. But tomorrow, coming up on the program, we'll have another good one for you. It's a Thursday. We're here in the studio. Woodja is on tap. It's a two-hour program tomorrow because of the NBA draft. So we will be off at 6 o'clock. And then on Friday, Kyle will once again be here in studio with Alex filling in for me as I try to make it through the eulogy at my father's funeral. I think that first hour today, the 4 o'clock hour, especially 4 to 4:30, that was a little bit difficult, but I think I got my swings in, and I'm ready to dig into the batter's box now and hopefully get the job done on Friday. But it will be a very emotional day, and all I can tell you is I'm not looking for any sympathy. I appreciate everybody that's reached out to me, and everybody has their crosses to bear, and there are a lot of people out there that don't have either one of their parents still living, and I don't want to turn this into a measuring contest of who's got it worse, believe me. But it was a rough couple days, and it's going to be a rough couple decades, hopefully, moving forward for me, but we'll try to get through things the best we can. And if you notice things just seem a little off with me over the next couple days or weeks here, just know that that's exactly the reason why. It's not that I'm still contemplating O.J. Simpson being on Twitter. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Of course, tomorrow on the program, we'll have another opportunity for you to take home an Amazon Echo just by answering a sports trivia question, a statement, really, from Alexa that is either true or false. And if you are smarter than Alexa, then you get an Echo and you can have fun with Alexa at your house. You can tell her to do a bunch of things, including listening to KGYM or listen to the Gym Class podcast, which is a skill that you can enable. The Gym Class local programming Monday through Friday from 3 until 4. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes right here today was a Caddy Smack edition of the program. They'll return to their regular appointed rounds tomorrow with Smokin' Dave Koken, who will try to pick out some winners for everybody out there.
Smokin' Dave. I hope that he is ready for this run of Major League Baseball. I feel like his picks are just that random Wednesday night Orioles Rockies game. That's Dave's wheelhouse.
I think betting against the Orioles at this point is, I never want to say anything is easy money. The Orioles are still going to win 50 games or so this year, so they're always going to surprise you. But it's not a long-term investment strategy that your broker would probably endorse or your wife would probably be able or willing to sign off on. But there are worse ways to pursue making a little money than betting against the Baltimore Orioles. Mike Trout has hit a home run tonight. He's got 9 in his last 19 games. Christian Yelich is now up to 27 home runs, and Eloy Jimenez is still a member of the Chicago White Sox as the crosstown series continues between Chicago and Chicago.
The crosstown cup? Is that what it's called still?
It changes names all the time. Changes names, changes sponsors. I think it's a fun rivalry, and a lot of people get really into it. To me, I'm more concerned about the Cardinals and the Brewers and the National League Central. You step out, interleague play, have a little fun with it. Think back to George Bell, Sammy Sosa, guys that have wound up playing for both teams. That'll do it here on a Wednesday edition of the show. I do want to thank everybody again here at KGYM once again for my absence over the last several days as I was with my mother and family attending to personal business. And I want to thank you, everybody that's reached out or everybody that's been curious as to where I have been. It wasn't my intention to necessarily, I didn't enjoy keeping you in the dark on it, but when you do this, it's nice to have a small sliver of privacy, and I did enjoy that for the most part, so I appreciate everybody's understanding on why I was gone. Unfortunately, I'm back, and we'll be again tomorrow as well. Tune in. So, guys.